Purpose.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. The Athletics' Bruce Feldman had two Buckeyes in his annual freaks list, ranking the top freak athletes in college football. Jeremiah Smith was ranked second and cited for a three-cone drill time that would be second best at last year's NFL Combine, while walk-on corner Brent Ninke-Jones was ranked 29th, running a top speed of 23.52 miles per hour. NFL Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy is back with the team after a two-week absence after his wife Mia was shot, allegedly by their son Elijah Zion, who was arrested and charged with three felonies. Mia Bieniemy has remained in stable condition. Bears wideout Luther Burden III is expected to miss the preseason with a groin injury. Commanders tackle Laremy Tunsil will undergo tricep surgery. This update is brought to you by Roosters. Roosters is giving away 12 ultimate Buckeye experiences. Tickets, sideline passes, and trips to a Buckeye first-round postseason game. Register today at roosterswings.com.
It's time to add some spice to your nooner. Nooner. Funny. This is the place where big-time guests, bold opinions, and little cute doggies come together. This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus, the number one rated windows and doors in Columbus.
All right, back in the saddle. Good to see you, boys. Rothman and Ice, Anthony Rothman, Matty Ice Hayes, and the Loose Cannon. Hope everybody's feeling good, safe out there. Dodging the deluge.
Beautiful out there.
How was the weekend, my man?
What up, what up? The weekend was good. Ended it yesterday.
What did Baker do to this microphone?
Well, I don't know.
It's like a limp biscuit. Like, it won't do anything.
Well, while you're figuring that out, let me map out my weekend. No, I had a nice lunch yesterday with the parents. That was great. Great conversation with them. They said hello to you and TLC. Wanted to show you guys some love, so I kicked it with them. And
what'd you order, an empty plate and a glass of water?
You know what I got yesterday? I actually got an omelet.
Very nice.
What a little mushrooms, bacon, spinach, a little cheese in that thing. So it was kind of a brunch lunch, and that was really all I did. I didn't do too much this weekend. My weekend, that's way down in the bottom of the barrel compared to what you were doing over the last few days.
The annual fantasy camp,
yeah,
what I call it at the Hall of Fame, is special.
It's good living.
Shout out to my boys at Sugardale, who are just, it's VIP city. I never take it for granted. I never will take it for granted. It's an awesome deal. Chanel number 5, our leader, takes us up there, and we do I guess you could call it a boys' weekend, because all we do is, it is a fantasy camp. Play golf a couple of times. We go to the hall. We get into some private stuff. We go to the game. We're in the end zone. I was texting you guys some pictures. And
where's the gong at, TLC?
I'm giving you the story.
I want to know about the private stuff.
Somebody said to me this morning, I can't remember, like, hey, maybe you can take me there. And I'm like, well, when I get stopped being taken there, then I'll take you there. So
I'll take you there.
Where was I? So Thursday night, the game was great. Here's the fun thing about Thursday.
Yeah.
So I'm leaving, and TLC looks at me and goes, hey, if you see Larry Fitz, tell him, you know, I'm happy his son's in South Bend. And so I get up to Akron, staying in Akron, then just do a little drop back to Canton.
Stayed at Braun's crib? Guys stay there?
I wouldn't even know where to go. I could take you to Mike's house, but I can't take you to LeBron's. So, or Mike's old house. It's sold now, I guess. Yeah. So, I get out of the vehicle, and I'm at the hotel, and I've got a Vikings hat on. And this guy who's standing there waiting for a ride says, basically, Vikes, like to see the Vikes. And we start chatting, and it's Larry Fitzgerald's brother, who was the original ball boy before Larry was the ball boy for Denny Green.
Is he older or younger?
He would be older.
He's older. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I don't know all of Larry's family was staying at this hotel. Every single person outside of Larry.
Whole fit squad.
I don't know where they put him up, but. Yeah. And so they charter a bus to go down to the enshrinement. And so it made me think about the fact that he started out as a ball boy with guys like Randy Moss and Chris Carter. Like, it's almost like it doesn't even make sense. And it was all about, if you asked me what was the most popular uniform in Canton this weekend, team-wise,
Oh, let me try to guess this.
I can tell you what that was.
The most popular team uni up in Canton this weekend. I'm going to go probably a bunch of number nine Drew Breeses walking around.
I watched the ceremony. New Orleans traveled.
Was it Nollins?
It was the French Quarter.
Yeah.
In Canton, Ohio.
And Aaron Rodgers didn't want to play there. Look at the support he could have received from that fan base if he would have just went down to New Orleans.
There we go. It was the French Quarter.
It looked like it. Yeah, it looked like it on TV.
So the other deal was,
would you ever consider playing for the Saints?
No.
Love how he plays it in the middle of my sentence. Like I'm talking. Like he doesn't even give me like a, hey, can I play it now? Like
I was hustling.
I found it. I'll play it whenever someone's talking.
Oh, man.
And so we go to this breakfast, and they always bring in a Sugardale brings in a Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know who it's going to be.
Okay.
I've never known. I don't even want to know.
Okay. See, like my mind, AR, there's like a door, and there's pyro and smoke, and there's this big announcement. He just comes walking through. Who was it this year?
It was Samurai Mike. Do you know who that is?
Samurai Mike.
Does that ring a bell? It probably shouldn't.
Mike Ditka, Mike Strahan. I don't know. I don't think I've ever heard the nickname Samurai Mike.
Samurai Mike was the nickname of Mike Singletary of the Bears in the Super Bowl Shuffle era.
Okay.
And so Samurai Mike walks in. And I look at Chanel number 5 and I say, oh, look, it's the former spokesperson of Pauly Acura. So in my town, so when I was a kid and he was starring for the Bears, he was the spokesperson for the local Acura dealer. And when I said that to him, he laughed. It's like, I didn't forget about the Super Bowl and all that. Oh, look, it's the spokesperson for Pauly Acura.
Did he have to give a speech or what? So what's his responsibility?
His responsibility was to give a talk,
okay,
10-15 minutes, and then he was available to take pictures with anybody or talk to them. And open mic night.
The floor is yours is at 1 o'clock, folks. Yeah. You get in line now.
I wasn't expecting Jeff Frimmer to be calling this phone line at 12:06. Should I pick it up?
What could he be calling for?
He's probably calling for somebody else. What?
I don't know.
Somebody might be taping something.
I know, but no one's answering. Okay, well, it disappeared.
Do you remember when Scotty and I were taping something in the other studio and we were calling a third wheel for this gambling pod we were doing, and we picked up the phone thinking it was the guy we were calling, and it was Chris Holtman, and he was calling in and we didn't know.
Yeah.
And so we picked it up for the gambling pod. And he goes,
Holtman, is your team hitting the over tonight?
And he goes, this is Chris. And it hit me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, coach? And it was a funny moment. So, anytime.
Holtman. Chris?
Yeah. This is Chris. All right. So, Singletary's in there and he gave a speech. And some of them are, I would say he is one of the most, you know, he has the most epic speech that we love with the 49ers,
mm-hmm,
with Vernon Davis, was it Vernon Davis?
I believe so.
The whole thing, kicked him out.
Yep.
I want winners, can't coach, can't play
with them. Win all of it,
Yeah. But his speech on Friday morning at this breakfast was pretty damn awesome. And it was about he thinks there's a lost art in this life, in this sports, in teams and all that, of accountability. Mm. And he believes that having an accountability partner, not a best friend, not a wife, none of that.
Okay.
Having an accountability partner in this world to get you to where you want to go. And I looked at him and I said, you know, I say this because we had just had him on the show not long ago. He was in the residency, what was that, a month or two ago, mm-hmm, TLC, we had Singletary on? Feels like it was pretty recent.
I think it would have been 2026.
Yeah. And I said, you know, I've had this old phrase I've always used when we've been lucky enough to either shadow or mentor or bring somebody young through here. And I'm always like, you can't coach ambition. You either have it or you don't.
Or you don't got it.
You're a go-getter, you're not. You're either going to do what it takes and sacrifice to get where you want to go, because you can have all the talent in the world and you can actually be a good worker. Like, I'm not saying that people, but there's a difference between being a good worker and having ambition. Big picture ambition. Where do I want to go? How do I get there? And he kind of echoed that with accountability in his own life, that he had somebody. He goes, he used to beat this person up verbally, like, and his maybe accountability, his accountability partner was like, you can do that to me all you want, but it's not getting you anywhere. Like, that's fine. You want to. So, and he praised like having an accountability partner in your life, someone that if you want to go somewhere and this person can help you get there, that they have to be honest with you and keep you accountable. And then until it doesn't work. And it was great. And he was as solid as it gets. And, you know, he wasn't the biggest dude. Not today. I'm not talking about yet Friday. I'm talking about just playing. Right. He had big shoulder pads and all that. But he had a great IQ and he had a seek and destroy attitude and the eyeballs and the whole thing with Singletary. That was pretty much one of the, I mean, that was a fairly big highlight of the weekend. And, but it was a Saints, it was Saints country.
Saints go marching in, huh?
And it made me think about this, and I don't know, maybe you guys might have been just before or after kind of you really started getting into this part, but Drew Brees really should have been a Charger for life. Like that, outside of the injury, and as the story goes, and I was reliving it with people, because somebody, I don't know, somebody was asking me at the game on Thursday night, we were talking about Brees, and they're like, well, what happened there? And I go, from what I remember, it was Schottenheimer not wanting to be forced Phillip Rivers on him. And he put Brees out there in a meaningless last regular season game of 05. And that's when he got hit and fumbled and Gerard Warren, I think, fell on his shoulder and damaged it to the point where the Chargers actually did right by him and gave him some incentive-laden contract to kind of hang out. But it wasn't a lot of guarantee. And Drew bet on himself because they said that the Dr. James Andrews, who's the famous orthopedic guy, said, I've never even seen anything this bad. Yeah. Like, so I don't know how much that was told over the weekend. Brees, miracle of comebacks, and a guy who didn't have a strong arm to begin with, a rifle arm, was able to come back with a 25% outlook on a elite quarterback's throwing shoulder. And the fact that he bet on himself, and but the backstory really was more about that it was a coach who wanted, it's, he loved Brees, he wanted him, but he had him out there in a meaningless game, and it affected him the rest of his life. But he made the Hall of Fame coming off of what people said was, you got your work cut out for you. They've never seen an injury this severe in an elite throwing shoulder.
That's why it's always cool when we have these opportunities to talk to all these Hall of Famers, right? For Gold Jacket Thursday is tapping into their story, right? Because all the different pathways that guys can take to get to the same spot is always fun to hear about. And for Brees, you talk about his journey and how he got there. Just timing, right? You get to New Orleans, you turn into an all-time guy there, a Hall of Famer, obviously. But it's also the characters that are, came along with Drew Brees to help him get to this moment, right? You link up with a guy like Sean Payton. That marriage works really well, and all the other weapons that came along with Brees. I mean, it was just, you watch Drew Brees play, it just felt like no football was ever hitting the ground. So he was up against it with his stature, but with his mind and with his arm talent, his accuracy and timing, the dude was able to just go out there and crush it on Sundays.
What I take away from 20 years ago was that the Saints and the Dolphins at the time were both desperate for quarterbacks. And essentially, they offered a Pro Bowl quarterback. Drew Brees was a Pro Bowl quarterback a year before. Backup money. That's how risky his shoulder was. And the Chargers, I believe, were fortunate enough to have a backup plan in place with Rivers. It wasn't to really force Brees out. They weren't really sure that was going to happen. They may have traded Rivers down the road. They were ready. It was A.J. Smith, who was the GM, and Marty, who was the coach, were the ones that butted heads. And it turned out that it backfired on Marty playing him in that game that was meaningless. And but I don't know if Brees ever really relives it too often. But watching him take his bust and walk into that room and put it on that top shelf of 26 and must have been, I mean, that's pretty awesome stuff.
Mama, I made it moment.
And then real quickly, we're in the Hall of Fame, and I'm coming up the steps, around the steps, Maddie, and it was like, caution crossing, like Hall of Fame, like you just, like my head spun around. It was Lawrence Taylor, and then it was It was Lawrence Taylor, Eric Dickerson, Ronnie Lott, others. Just, hey, what?
Yeah.
It was incredible. Yeah. And I talked to our boy.
Ed Reed?
Live from London.
Is it AI or not?
No, he's there.
No way.
I had multiple conversations with him. He's amazing.
No way he's there. No way.
Gern Cranium, just spitting out stats. And I asked him about Ed Reed, and I have it on tape, and I'll send it to you guys. All right, we're coming back. We'll talk Buckeyes with you. Arthur Smith on his dynamic duo for this year, Rothman.
The Fan has a secret radio station. It's called The Fan 2. You can listen to the Bob and Tom Show, Jim Rome, and Buckeye stuff. Why do they pay me big money to whisper? The Fan 2 is on The Fan's HD2 channel and streaming on The Fan app. You're welcome. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We'll see a chance of some scattered showers pushing across the area this morning. Otherwise, mostly cloudy skies. Later on today, some showers and thunderstorms redevelop, and some of those could be strong to severe with gusty winds and locally heavy rain. Otherwise, it's a humid day with mixed clouds and sun, highs in the upper 80s. For tomorrow, scattered showers and thunderstorms are likely. Those, too, could be strong to severe. We'll see humid conditions with highs again in the mid-80s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
If you've recently seen a photo of an older Baker Mayfield fresh off a bender, it's just Bo Bishop. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan.
Hey, kids.
Anthony once did magic for birthday parties. See, when you say it out loud, it doesn't sound so bad. Back to Rothman and Ice.
So, during the game on Thursday night, by the way, did you guys watch the entire game?
No, I didn't watch. I just watched highlights.
Okay.
I tried to talk myself into it, and then I was like, I'm good. I'd rather watch Big Brother. Now, I did see this.
Is that your Big Brother?
Good-looking kid. Mm-hmm. Thursday night's Panthers-Cardinals Hall of Fame game averaged 7 million viewers on NBC, the most watched
WNBC.
The most watched Hall of Fame game on the network since 2017. So people were in on this. They wanted to see Kenny Pickett and Carson Beck get busy.
No, they wanted to see Haynes King with a walk-off.
Oh, by the way.
I mean, it honestly, it was the best Hall of Fame game ever.
You were like, this kid might have something here. He looked good.
Well, he did.
He did look good, but now he's down with an injury. So that's horrible timing for him.
Was it the last play when he was stretching out over the goal line?
I can't remember exactly what the injury is, but the Panthers have now brought in a new quarterback. And so who knows how long he's going to be down. But when you create that type of moment and momentum, you obviously want to keep going. And now he's put on ice for a little bit. But yeah, looks like a whole bunch of people were in on the 7 million people watching the Hall of Fame game. It's not bad.
And I was one of them.
Yeah, it was NFL football, man. So anyway, during one of the, I don't know, it was halftime or whatever, I walked around and they had this memorabilia area.
Okay.
I mean, really cool stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, Hall of Fame stuff. And they have these, have you guys ever seen these mystery boxes or mystery bags?
Oh, no.
So it's basically you pay $100, $125 bucks and you're guaranteed an autographed jersey of that team.
The current class? The guys?
They could be. There was a Hall of Fame mystery bag where you were guaranteed a Hall of Famer. That jersey. Now, on the bag, it lists the who's who. But then there's a and others. So, now listen, you're still getting a Hall of Famer.
Right.
And then the mystery boxes were of each team. So you could have gone up and said, all right, I'll pay the $125. Give me a Baltimore Ravens mystery box.
Yeah.
And maybe you'd luck out and get Ed Reed.
No.
And it would be autographed.
I'm good.
And maybe you could get it personalized one day in the bathroom. So, the... Anyway, I saw a Buckeye helmet, and I thought, all right, that's interesting. I wonder if it's a Chris Carter or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a black Buckeye helmet, right? With the scarlet leaves. I mean, it was very cool. And I'm like, this is next to, I don't know, Jahmyr Gibbs and other one, Adrian Peterson. This guy tried to sell me a authentic Viking Adrian Peterson autographed all day helmet. But it was in matte, and I said, I only do the old school purple.
Mm.
And he says, $650, it's yours. I'm like, I want the old school purple. If you can find that, let's talk.
Yeah.
But it was great stuff, frame stuff, helmets, just awesome stuff. And I could not make out the autograph on the Buckeye helmet.
And you still don't know?
I do now.
Oh, who was
it? I asked. So it's not, it's a current Buckeye. it wasn't a Hall of Famer.
Correct.
It was Buckeye. There was a Buckeye helmet there.
Yeah.
At this memorabilia tent. Correct. Now, and it was a current Buckeye.
That's in the league right now.
No, current Buckeye on the team
Jeremiah.
Now.
It was Jeremiah then.
That's my default guess.
It was not.
Julian?
It was not.
Okay.
Now think about this. I'll give you the hint. And anybody listening, this is the hint. What is my theme of the last 2 minutes? The mystery box, the mystery bag.
Mystery.
Who's the mystery man?
Is it a player?
It is a player.
Okay.
Bo Jackson.
He's on the team. It is not Bo Jackson.
Something. Who's a mysterious character?
Mysterious character.
Maybe someone we don't know yet. Like a Quay Russo or an Earl Little Jr.
James Smith?
Maybe.
Why don't I just tell you the player that it is?
Yeah, we ran out of time on the theme music, too.
It is Chris Henry Jr.
Okay.
His helmet. I'll tweet it out. His helmet with an autograph, or a Buckeye helmet with an autograph. And I looked at the person, and I got the quote. He must have some kind of relationship now with them. And sometimes the value is highest when there's still some mystery.
Mm-hmm.
So don't know. And I looked at him and I go, he hasn't played it down yet.
No.
And they go, we know that. Now, I don't have the valuable piece of information because I didn't ask because I'm an idiot. How much was it? I didn't ask. It didn't have a price tag on it. And the other ones did. So anyway, it was cool. I took a picture of it. I'll show you. I couldn't make out the, I should have looked at it because it did have the JR. It just didn't hit me that it could be him. Because remember, Walter Payton and Joe Namath and there's all this stuff there.
Right.
And then there's a Buckeye full-size helmet with his autograph on it. I was like, whoa, we're in Canton, man. Like this isn't some mall,
right.
Some strip mall.
Say Polaris or Easton.
Yeah. But I'm at Tom Benson Memorial Stadium.
That's an investment, though.
That's what they're. That's it. You get it now at a certain price.
Yep. It's like right. It's never going to be this cheap.
It's like when Scotty didn't buy those Jeremiah Smith autographed Buckeye gloves at my golf outing.
He's still kicking himself.
Of course
over that
he
one,
is.
Huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not like Doritos.
What'd those go for? If you don't mind sharing.
Well, that was before he had done anything.
Right.
So there was still a mystery. I think they went for $300.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Wouldn't surprise me if the Chris Henry helmet was in that range.
Yeah.
Got the Hall of Famers in the 650 range, a guy that hasn't played yet in college with some good upside. You're about $300. That makes sense.
Our friend Ian Harditz tweeted out that Jeremiah Smith 1.44 second 10-yard sprint and that the NFL combine record is 1.40 by Chris Johnson. Xavier Worthy was 1.49 at almost 60 pounds less.
Yeah,
that's what he just tweeted.
He's just been a freak since day one, right? The minute we laid eyes on him in a real game as a freshman, you could just see physically this dude's just, it's not a normal 18, 19-year-old guy. And then you see the skill set come together, how deep the bag is. And then we've seen for the last couple of years his ability to just continue to get better and better. And so this year, nobody's going to expect anything different. The dude stays healthy. He'll be right there in the Heisman conversation. I know he's probably so serious about grabbing that Biletnikoff, probably feels like he should have grabbed that one from Mekhi Lemon a year ago. And then you just see some of the stuff that's out there, the video footage of him at practice, and he looks the part. He gets those, he can catch some of those quick slants, and that's when he can get to that quick burst with the speed that you're talking about. And so, yeah, he's as complete of a receiver as you could probably want, and I can't wait to see what Arthur Smith Ryan Day does with him in year three as far as where he's going to line up and maybe some of the other things he can do now.
Here's Arthur Smith, TLC. Spin this one on his dynamic duo.
We'll start with Sayan.
Yeah, Julian's been awesome. I've been very, really impressed. Like he's got a really instinctive football mind. You know, he's very, very intelligent above the neck. And when I first met him, I didn't realize it was him because I thought he was like, 14. I thought he was a coach's kid or something walking around the building. But I love his demeanor for a guy. You know, he's sharp. He works at it. He's been fun to work with.
It is funny because Julian was last year a little bit of a babyface assassin. Look, he's a young guy. And then she's thought he was a 14-year-old kid walking around.
Nah, go to work with dad.
That's our Heisman finalist right there. The kid that you think is 14. But everything that you've heard about him over the last couple of days is physically he looks the part. And then Arthur Smith's letting us know that, man, this dude's mind is really, really sharp. And so for a former NFL head coach to feel that way about this guy, you as a Buckeye fan have to feel really good about what Julian's going to be this year, because the physical part, he already showed you. As a young guy on the fly, hey, I can complete a whole bunch of passes at a high rate. Now, I think you can throw more at him if you're Coach Day and Coach Smith, and they probably feel really good about his ability to grab a hold of that, get it to his teammates, and have everybody execute at a high level.
Yeah, it's really about being able to execute it at the highest level in the biggest games.
Yep.
That's, I mean, he's going to body anybody like on the playground when it's that much of a mismatch. But I think what most people want to see is that he is the major part of the game plan, and he is executing at the highest level in the biggest games. He had a pretty big game against IU. In fact, you know, I love to play, like, if you didn't know the final score, would you know it? Like, if you saw 8 for 144, you'd be like, all right, that's at least three touchdowns for high, like, they scored 10 points. Like, it didn't make any sense. And in the Miami game, you know, 7 for 157 in a score, you got to score more than 14 points. Like, so there is an interesting part of this that maybe we'll get into at some point, and maybe even with Arthur Smith, of like, yes, feeding him and feeding him and feeding him is always good. He's the best player on the field. Does it always equal wins, or sometimes can it be too much? Because when I see 15, if you combine the last two games, 15 for over 300, and yet they scored 24 points total, something is wrong.
It was specifically the Indiana game. I remember we talked a lot about the red zone stuff, right? Like, they got down there. Yeah. Jeremiah was getting the rock, doing some things, but they got in between the 20s and they couldn't cash in. And so that's
what
you're talking
about. Sometimes he wasn't available.
Right. And that's what you're talking about, is those type of situations this year against big time teams. When you march down the field, three ain't going to cut it. You got to grab seven. And so that's what it's going to be interesting to see, if Arthur Smith, Julian, can clean that up against Texas, Oregon, and all the other big-time games we're going to be talking about.
All right, we come back in 2 minutes, and we'll slip down to Cincinnati and talk about a certain guy on a certain hot seat. Is he the leader? Find out next. Rothman and Humble.
Flash flooding is ongoing or expected to begin shortly. Hazard: flash flooding caused by thunderstorms. Source: radar and automated gauges. Impact: flash flooding of small creeks and streams, urban areas, highways, streets, and underpasses, as well as other poor drainage and low-lying areas. Some locations that may experience flash flooding include Columbus, Dublin, Reynoldsburg, Grove City, Upper Arlington, Gahanna, Hilliard, Worthington, Bexley, Powell, Groveport, Minerva Park, Lee Ohio State University, Easton, Whitehall, Grandview Heights, Obetz, Urban Crest, and Valley View. Turn around, don't drown when encountering flooded roads. Most flood deaths occur in vehicles. To report flash flooding, go to our website at weather.gov/ILN and submit your report via social media when you can do so safely.
I don't know what was Breeze 373. I'll have to go back and look. And so, but he's got them all. Like, you can ask him any name and he'll go, oh yeah, that, and he'll bring up something. And so on purpose, I asked him about Ed Reed, because he spit out a few good things.
Okay. So folks, AR showed me the video during the break, and what swung me to your side is when you asked him about the weather in London. This wasn't just some, hey, we're talking about the Hall of Famer and that's it. He was having a just normal conversation with you.
Yeah.
It wouldn't make sense if they just had some robotic AI person that had all the, not obviously there. But that just looked like you were having a Zoom conversation with him across the pond.
I mean, I guess that could be an AI response. Like, you could have a generic response. Like, I sent a picture to my buddy of mine with the picture I took with Marcus Fitzgerald, and he sent it back to me with Larry in it. I'm dead serious. If you sent that to anybody, you would have thought the three of us were there.
That's scary, man.
It is frightening.
Scary.
It's really, honestly, insane.
Okay, I'm in now.
All right.
I believe he's real.
And maybe what I'll do is I'll send the video to TLC, and maybe tomorrow we could play it.
We need to talk to the Hall of Fame and maybe see if we can interview him. And then we'll really find out if he's real or not. Can we let's put in that request to talk to him? Because I think it would be fascinating to pick his brain on just all of this Hall of Fame knowledge that he has, if he is a real human, which I'm now believing he is.
But he's definitely a real human, but I think he has a brain or a cranium
at a different size than most. It's not a little walnut. It's just he's got it all. And he just has to pop in another dude, like the memory. Like it's when impressive. The next guy goes into the class.
If it's real, it's impressive to say the least.
If it's
that's wild.
If it's real, it's spectacular. Yeah, actually, his name is Steve Flack, and he is the international ambassador of the Pro Football Hall of Fame from London, England.
And he just
I'll get him on it sometime.
Let's try to get Steve on the show.
Yeah, that's him.
And he just say, hey.
He's just hanging out. You know what it reminds me of who was the great ESPN guy that passed away? We had him on the show, the report. John Clayton.
Mom's
John
the meatloaf? Clayton.
Yeah, John Clayton.
Mom the meatloaf guy?
Yeah John. Mom, yeah, I don't think he says meatloaf.
What is it?
I think Mom, you're done mixing with up segment. Will Ferrell in Old
That's
School
right. That's right.
With John Clayton of his ESPN commercial.
What did John yell at his mom in the ESPN commercial?
I'm done with my segment, I've finished my segment, okay. Right. I think that's Steve Flack. Like, I think he's probably just in his basement, just firing up the internet, and just he's on call to the Pro Football Hall of Fame on weekends like this, certainly on Hall of Fame weekend.
Okay.
And they probably pay him a fee, and he's just there. And then it's, I don't know, when he breaks for lunch, Mom, I'm done with my segment at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And he kind of looks like John Clayton.
He does.
Yeah. You guys brought me up to speed on this, the NFL coaching hot seat. We have not talked about this year, but the leader in the clubhouse is down in Cincinnati?
The leader in the clubhouse is not down in Cincinnati, but he's not too far from being the leader in the clubhouse. Would you like to guess who the leader in the clubhouse is? According to Vegas, the first NFL coach to be fired.
Who's coaching? How long has your boy been there in New York now?
Mm.
Aaron Glenn. I'm thinking he's got to be there.
He is.
He's number one?
He's number one.
Is he really?
He's uno.
Okay.
Number one on the board. Right after him is Todd.
Aaron Glenn.
Is Todd Bowles. So Todd Bowles, all the Baker stuff, Vita Vea. I could see how that could go south pretty quickly.
I almost guessed Steichen.
So. It's a good guess because he's fourth. Okay. So between Todd Bowles and Shane Steichen is Zach Taylor. So in Vegas's mind, they think this is a pretty, pretty warm seat for him. And I don't know if anybody can push back on that, right? We were all surprised that he was the lone standing AFC North head coach from last year.
The guys you just mentioned, Matty, the guys you just laid out, which team has the most expectations?
The Cincinnati Bengals by far.
By far of those other teams.
Yes, I would say Tampa's probably right after that, then Indy, and then the New York
Jets. Hardest thing to do, you can't fire him unless he'd have to really underachieve. And what that would mean is missing the playoffs. And I don't know if you guys view that as massively underachieving this year for Cincinnati.
I probably would, and it also would be...
Because they're not technically supposed to win the division. So they'd only be getting in with a wild card. They're not a favorite to win the division. Baltimore is.
I guess I'm not going to let Vegas... view my opinion on that. I think both Cincinnati and Baltimore are right there neck and neck for the division this year. AR, I think if it does get to a fourth straight year of missing the playoffs, then I think it will happen. I don't think this is going to be an end season firing or anything like that. He just got to hope that the Al Golden hire is going to turn itself into something fruitful for them. Obviously, the players got to do their part. But what can Al Golden do with this defensive unit? A couple years ago, he brings in Lou Anarumo. That took a couple years to get going, and they found themselves in the Super Bowl. And that year, in 2021, they did what I'm asking them to do this season. JBA. Just be average. In 2021, they were 17th in points allowed and 18 in total yards. So that's where Al Golden has to get this unit this year. If that happens, then I think Zach Taylor will be fine because the offense is going to do their part if number nine is healthy. But if he is there and the defense can get to where they were in 2021, I think we are talking about a team that is going to be dangerous. And so I think Zach Taylor will be back after that, if that can happen for him.
All right, so here's the important part of this. Well, there's two. The one is, it sounds like Cincinnati is willing to spend money. Like, usually franchises that don't fire coaches are for one reason. they don't want to spend a lot of money sending a guy away, yeah. and they don't want to spend a lot of money bringing a new guy in. That's the first part of it. The second part of it is that Cincinnati's actually spending money now.
Mm-hmm.
And so this would fall in line is that it would be counterintuitive to make all these changes and add these players defensively and then have a coach that can't get them to the playoffs, yeah. and then you're just going to keep that guy. The only problem is that he's got 2 years left.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is, he's not a lame duck coach. He's got 2 years left.
Right.
He signed the extension after the Super Bowl. So I think that most, Mike Brown usually lets coaches finish their contracts and before making any kind of big decision, because he did it with Marvin Lewis. And my old slogan for them was, he made the Bengals a lot more okay. And, but if you, I agree with you, if you miss the playoffs again, the ownership has to be like, we're really not, we're killing ourselves here. We're adding players. We're adding this. The missing piece might be the head coach.
Right. And one of the obvious things that can save him is the availability of Joe Burrow. Like, we're at a point now to where he's missed 17 regular season games over the last 3 years. And there's no surprise that when he misses that amount of time, the Bengals aren't in the playoffs. So for me, the saving graces are those two things. Joe Burrow there all the time, and Al Golden in that unit taking a pretty big leap this season.
All right. You're looking for a spot for this guy. I'm just saying it right now.
Okay.
If that were to happen, and they could land Belichick, and you could hand him Burrow, and he could go get the record and take this team back to the playoffs and make a run, I don't know what it would cost, but I've not, that name just popped in my head, that if this equation wouldn't work, you might be able to take a short-term flyer on him to catch lightning in a bottle. That's it. I won't say any more because I don't think it's much. But if all those things were to happen, the UNC flame out happens, Zach Taylor flames out this year, and we're looking for a spot to land him in the NFL,
I like
that
it.
Would be the one.
I like it because I had to imagine the past cycle. Belichick was looking around and saying, Josh Allen, Lamar, yeah. I can coach those guys. And then if that were the case and he could hit the finish line of this year and move on and say, I can coach Joe Burrow, there would obviously be intrigue there. He'd be foolish not to want that job.
It would just cost Mike Brown, and I just don't. That could be the one thing that holds him back. All right, we will come back with Party Like a Rothstar next. Rothman.
If only there was a radio show that constantly talked about Ohio State athletics. Well, good news. It's real, baby. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
Proud to be your flagship home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. Ohio's sports destination.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub. Home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
Let's all gather into the Kiki. It's time to party like a Rothstar.
All right, Iceman. Lead us off.
All right, I will lead us off, and I'm going to start with a guy that was born on June 2nd, 2005, down in the 305, Miami, Florida. His name is George Lombard Jr. George Lombard Jr., folks, it's looking like the future of the New York Yankees at the most important position in the infield, and that is shortstop. The Yankees drafted this kid 26th overall in the 2023 MLB draft. He was supposed to be a Vandy boy like our guy Jensen Lewis, but he's too good for that. He was in high school 3 to 4 years ago, and now here he is starting for the New York Yankees. First game last Tuesday, the dude hit a home run. Mom, pops, they were in the stands. Incredible moment. Hit another home run on Saturday, and this dude's been making sweet plays at shortstop as well. And you just look at him, and you can't help but think Derek Jeter. He kind of looks like Derek Jeter. He's kind of built like Derek Jeter. And you think about being the face of certain franchises, playing certain positions. The Yankee shortstop spot's got to be high up there. Being a star player for the Celtics or the Lakers, being a quarterback for the Cowboys or another historic franchise in the NFL, this dude has a chance to hold down this spot for a very long time. And he looks the part already. He's already got a couple RBIs. I mentioned the home runs already, and Yankee fans are loving every second of this dude since he's only 21 years old, AR. George Lombard Jr., the new shortstop for the New York Yankees, is already partying like a rock star.
All right, so why are these complete unknowns in my mind winning weekly on the PGA Tour? It's because they're damn good, and they show very little nerves down the stretch. There is a new generation of golf that's taking over, and there was so much worry with all the big names going to LIV. But 24-year-old Michael Brennan played four seasons at Wake, and all he's done this year is finish top 25 at the Masters, top 45 at the U.S. Open, top 53 at the British, six straight cuts made coming into this week at the Wyndham. And all he did is shoot 63 and 64 on the weekend. Picked up $1.5 million in Greensboro. He's now number 35 in the world. And it's weird because nobody truly knows him. You'd have to be ultra hardcore to even really know. But we've seen this now with Koivun last week and now with Brennan. And all of a sudden, it's like these guys, it's not like they've never had talent out there. They've got so much. But it used to be kind of the who's who that was winning all the time. And now we've seen this door open for some of these youngsters that have no fear and hit the ball a mile and have all the talent in the world, but got to give it to him, man. Picked up $1.5 million, partying like a rock star.
Speaking of guys that just picked up some new money, that happened in the New England Patriot facility this morning, and this is just a guy I've kind of always liked. Not one of the best at his position, but I think he's always been solid for the teams that he's played for. The guy that I'm talking about is Hunter Henry. Hunter Henry, tight end for the New England Patriots, second round pick back in 2016. We found out today he got a two-year extension with the Patriots. That looks like it's going to be around $16 million with a chance to get up to 20. But in his first year in New England, he led all tight ends with 9 touchdowns. In 2025, he played all 17 games for the first time in his career. And Drake May obviously had great chemistry with him because he cooked up a career high, that being Hunter Henry, 768 receiving yards, and he had 7 touchdowns a year ago as well. And then said, I'm going to help you out in the playoffs too. Had a very solid playoff run. Obviously, it didn't work out well for them in the Super Bowl, but 9 catches on 15 targets and a touchdown, 112 yards for Hunter Henry. So now you think about the Patriots offense that has added A.J. Brown, that has added Romeo Doubs. So for a guy that's early 30s, maybe the tread on the tire starting to fade away a little bit, I still think he can be impactful because of the other attention the other guys are going to garner. So I've always liked Hunter Henry. I think he's just been a solid, reliable guy for his quarterback. Got rewarded today by the Patriots, and I still think he can help out what should be one of the better teams in the AFC this season.
Cool. I've mentioned this guy before. I'll mention him again because he did something over the weekend that was pretty cool. So when the Milwaukee Brewers drafted Jacob Mazurowski 63rd overall 4 years ago, I don't really think the world knew who he was, and he's the biggest flamethrower that we've seen since Nolan Ryan. And he does it consistency, and his arm's going to fall off. I mean, eventually it has to, but he'll hit 102 and it's like ho hum. Yeah. Honestly, it's just a whip. He officially reached his 200th strikeout of the season in only 129 and a third innings. So that destroyed the Brewers franchise record that was set by Corbin Burns. He finished the day with 9 Ks and a walk-off win and all that. But if you go to Elias Sports Bureau, they will tell you that only one pitcher in MLB history has ever reached 200 strikeouts faster than Mazurowski did on Sunday. And it's interesting to me. I would not have guessed this because it's a little more recent. I thought it may have been someone a little more old school. But Spencer Strider, who did it in actually 6 fewer innings to hit that total with the Braves in 2023. Now, here's the cool part. He hits 103 to kind of kick off the start. 21 straight fastballs were unleashed on the Twins to begin the game.
Why would you throw anything
else? The slowest of the 21 was 100.6. That was the slowest. And it's the 8th time this season that he's thrown at least 50 100-plus pitches in a game. He can't be human.
It's... You know a guy is feeling himself and confident where pretty much everybody knows what's coming and they still can't do hardly anything with it. And that's where he's at. Everybody knows this dude's going to try to blow it by us every time. And they still can't touch the
dude. We always had a kid, I don't know, it was a high school or before that or traveled, whatever it was, that could throw really fast. The difference was he was wild as hell.
Yeah.
And nobody wanted to dig in. And that was his biggest weapon, is that he'd keep you off balance.
Effectively now, wild is what they call that.
And he'd hit some people, right?
Yeah.
I mean, coach, I don't want to get hit. First inside pitch you get, AR, lean into it. Yeah, but I don't want to get hurt. Yeah, but you want to win the game, don't you? All right, fine. Don't get hit in the arm or get hit in the back. And so I just feel like this guy, to be able to locate it and throw it that fast and get guys swinging and missing, Jacob Mizorowski still parting, 200 strikeouts now and 129 in a third inning.
Unreal. I think he can sustain this for a while because I don't think, like, when you watch him, it doesn't look like he's overly trying, right? You see some guys that are just trying to max out and do it a little too much. It seems kind of effortless for him in his frame, right? Naturally, he's going to have big velocity when he's that tall and all that stuff. So, yeah, man, it's just every outing, it seems like this dude can do something incredible.
614-821-9710 is TLC's number. We've got a Skyline gift card up for grabs. On the floor is yours. Call him now. Rothman and Ice.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon. I'm Tyler Danberg. Ohio State wideout and punt returner Brandon Innes was named to the Paul Horning Award watch list, given to the most versatile player in major college football. Innes, OC Arthur Smith, and O-lineman Austin Sarveld, as well as Carson Hinsman, will meet with the media Wednesday at 11:45. Also today, wideout Jeremiah Smith and corner Inky Jones were ranked second and 29th in the Athletics Annual Freaks list, listing the top freak athletes in the sport. NFL injury news. Bears wideout Luther Burden III is expected to miss the preseason with a groin injury. Commanders tackle Laremy Tunsil will undergo tricep surgery. Lions center Cade Mays is expected to miss 8 to 10 weeks. And running back Isaiah Pacheco will miss time with an MCL sprain. Baseball Reds and Guardians are both off. This update sponsored by Germain Toyota. For unbeatable service and sales, visit Germain Toyota on the corner of I-70 and Bryce Road or online at germaintoyota.net.
Time for your calls on Rothman and Ice. The floor is yours. Call the show right now, 614-821-9710. Whether you have a gripe,
I've never seen such incompetence,
or some praise.
You're the best voice in sports radio, man, and I really mean that.
The floor is yours.
Come on!
Sponsored by Window Nation. Get 50% off all window styles plus no payments for 2 years. Visit windownation.com.
All right, it's the weekly bribery segment. We throw out a gift card from Skyline. Great place. Lunch, dinner, whatever you want. Service is super fast. Get in and out quickly. Hang out as long as you want. They're good for both. And if you're on the run, you can always pull into the Skyline drive-thru, enjoy a couple cheese conies. Skyline three-way always makes the day better. Feeling good at Skyline time, so that gift card's up for grabs. We've got a couple in the queue here, but I did want to tell you guys that, and maybe we can do this a little bit later, that Joel Klatt put out his preseason top 25.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess the Buckeyes are in the top five. We had the coaches poll last week. They were number one.
Yeah. If they were outside of anyone's top five, would feel like that would be a real upset.
For sure. Klatt's a Big Ten guy, so I'm going to guess one of Oregon and Ohio State are right there. I don't think they're going to be number one, that being Ohio State, when the AP poll rolls out. I don't think so. I'm going to guess this is going to be Oregon for him.
It is Oregon. Yeah. And Notre Dame is two.
Okay.
And Ohio State's three. And Miami is four. And the Hoosiers are five. And there's Georgia at six. He's got Texas at seven.
Would love to hear
now
his reasoning
that
why.
That is an upset for me. From everything I've read and heard, it's okay. He knows more than I do. I'm just seven.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm sure there'll be clips floating around with him explaining why they're there. But yeah, we're going to have to play that when we find out. But yeah, the Notre Dame Oregon momentum groundswell of what they're supposed to be has been pretty strong over the last few weeks. And you can understand it with the loaded rosters that they have and the quarterbacks that they have as well. So if it's Ohio State, Oregon, Notre Dame, I'm not going to push back at anybody that views them as the number one team in the country, because I think all three of those teams, we're going to be talking about them heavily in the mix come playoff time in the games that really matter.
You want to know the other upset?
Yeah. What do you got?
This is bigger than Texas being seven.
Okay.
All right.
Is it a team that he thinks highly of or lowly of?
Highly.
Michigan.
10. 10.
Wow. After all the angst and negativity out there about Bryce Underwood this all season, what is he seeing / hearing? It's got
to
be Kyle Whittingham.
I've never known him to be some kind of Michigan homer.
Oh, like he defended Harbaugh the entire way.
No, I knew he was a Big Ten. Like he, Big, I mean, Big he Ten loves guy. Ohio State. Yeah. He calls a lot of games. That's
okay. TLC, stay on the hunt yourself. For some of the clips that are going to be out there about Michigan and Texas. Because, like AR
we'll
just said,
tomorrow.
Explain yourself, Joel Klatt.
I'd love to hear it. I'm open-minded to that.
Yeah, because he's not just throwing out willy-nilly opinions that just have no validity to him. He's done his homework.
Eric Weddle says the starter can't throw a football.
That's what I'm saying. Eric Weddle told us that, in his opinion, he's not going to be surprised if the backup gets worked this year.
He told us personally. He called us cell phones.
He did. He texted.
That's right.
By the way, before we get to the calls real fast, I forgot. I totally buried the lead.
What happened?
So when we were talking about the Hall of Fame and me basically moving to Canton and trying to get a little room on the crow's nest there and just kind of hang out, I was going to do another reveal.
Oh.
Remember, last year I brought, it's trinkets. I brought three trinkets back, one Vikes, one Ravens, one Steelers.
I use mine every day.
And I said, yeah, but our rule was whatever you opened, you had to keep. Or at least for a season.
Right.
For this season. Then you give it back to the guy that should have it and wash it and whatever.
Oh, I don't think I would accept that back.
No.
Nah.
Really?
Nah. I wouldn't be.
You guys go to restaurants. You drink out of a glass that thousands of people have had their lips on.
But here's the thing. I don't know who it is. There's comfort in that. There's comfort in going to a restaurant.
You cannot be kidding what I just.
You made a fair point, but what you just said, TLC, is kind of confusing me.
Really?
So you would get more comfort in drinking out of a glass from someone you don't know than maybe someone you
guys
do
know. Are not.
If you handed me the glass that I've been watching you drink out of the past year and say, hey, this is yours now.
You put it in a dishwasher. Different. You haven't gone over to somebody's house for a meal or anything?
Wait, hold on.
What do you think? You drink it out of a new glass every time?
Ice
you
is
can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious.
You would rather go to a restaurant and drink out of a glass that you've never seen washed, but you're assuming it was, instead of if I drank out of this thing for a year, gave it to you, you washed it, you'd be more concerned that I was drinking out of it than thousands of other people that might have been drinking out of that mystery glass.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
What does that say about me?
You're the resident germaphobe.
I am.
I'm out
on this.
But you go to places and drink out of their...
I know. And
you use their silverware.
My brain has never calculated what you just said. And so now I'm fearful of where my mind is going to go when I'm eating in public restaurants now. Because I'm going to be thinking about
bring
that.
Your own silverware? Yeah, exactly.
But you agree with the first point that you didn't want to swap after a year. And then I started explaining and then you backed off.
No, I was just confused that I guess you would get more comfort in drinking out of glasses from people that you don't know rather than people that you do. Because you could see people's habits. But like you may look at mine and be like, yeah, he's a germaphobe. I might be okay taking his. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Versus this a random Joe Schmo that ate in the booth before you. And who knows what he was doing with his mouth. You know what I mean? That's why I was a little confused when you said that.
It's just odd knowing who you're drinking after.
So he's more of, he just.
I also subscribe to the.
Doesn't care who went in there first.
I also subscribe to the Mike Ricciardotti theory that. If possible, I'd like to not know who lived in the house before me.
Okay, me too. Yeah, because then that's your mind can just go places it doesn't need to be. If you know that, real quick, AR.
Yes, if Jeffrey Dahmer lived there, I probably wouldn't want to.
Found out Friday when that I'm in the minority when it comes to the stall issue. Because I presented Joshua Perry with the same question.
Of course he said.
And he has some of that fear. So I guess I'm the odd man out in this.
It's not really fear. It's not a tangible fear.
Okay.
There's just a little bit of self-consciousness when you know you're standing next to someone and you're trying to get the flow going and it's just, you can't get relaxed enough. By the way, I get in a golf cart
going
at the Hall of Fame. We're getting actually driven.
Like a police escort?
Not a police escort. a golf cart.
Okay.
And I'm wearing a Sugardale badge that has my name on it. And the guy that gets in he turns around, and he goes, Anthony Rothman. He's volunteering at the Hall of Fame. He travels to Canada all the time and he streams the show. Eric Smith. Shout out to Eric.
Shout out to you, Eric Smith.
Like of the most strange, small world. Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Spent some time in Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's up there.
Incredible.
But he's, Yeah.
Up in Canada, Eric, I got a task for you. Here's what I need you to do, Eric. Up there in Toronto.
Taskmaster.
I need you to break into Drake's house and steal me some OVO gear, okay? Do that for your boy. OVO. That's incredible. Such a small world, though. OVO's Drake's brand. But that small world. Got to meet a legend. Met a whole bunch of Hall of Famers and an Emmy Award winner in Anthony Rothman.
What if he stole you a used mug that Drake drank out of?
I wouldn't drink out of it, but I would take it.
All right.
I'd take it.
All right, so then the whole thing is then whoever gets this then keeps it?
Sure.
You have to use that one?
What are we being gifted here?
It was something that, like,
trinkets
last
trash?
It's just a trinket from the Hall of Fame. I wasn't going to, like, you know.
No, I'm glad you, look.
I was just thinking
of
you guys.
Whatever it is, very appreciative. Whatever it is, I don't care what it is. I'm in. Well,
I mean, I'll tell you what. Next year, we'll work on it. Maybe we'll upgrade to something
more. You don't have to upgrade. Right. This is more than enough.
Well, we'll see. I don't know. But I'm blown away by the, like, if you came over to my house to watch a game.
Yeah.
TLC, and I gave you a mug to drink out of, and it was clean, and you'd be like, oh, no, I can't do that. You had any straws? Like, I'd be like, what?
No, I wouldn't do that. I don't know. It's just something different about, like, that mug's been at your desk for a year, and I've been watching you drink out of it. Like, we don't need to swap.
I agree with you.
If I
put it through a commercial dishwasher, like when you see, like,
it's also like an ownership thing. It's like, man, that's yours at this point.
I get it.
Who cares what that
logo
is?
It was just more of the amazement. I was just kind of shocked that it was that reaction.
I wasn't trying to die on a strange hill. Yeah. I think it just kind of came off that way.
Well, it sounded like you thought you were going to die, period, if you drank out of it.
No. It was just like, what do we got to swap at this point? Like, okay. Now, again, it all worked out. We all got our correct teams on complete accident last year with the mugs.
But
even if we didn't, we wouldn't have to do some, like, shuffle one year later.
Did you go first, Maddie, last year?
I think you did.
Grab the Ravens.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll let you lead off again.
Love it.
And we'll see what happens.
Great segment from the callers.
The callers are going to be there. The gift card's still up for grabs.
Sorry, Rich and UA. We'll get to you next.
Rich. Wait, by the way, we have pointed out.
Stay there, Rich.
Like, yeah.
Well, I'm just letting him know. Just
completely threw his boys under the bus there.
Yeah. Keep them on hold, and we'll take them next. Rothman.
Buckeye Replay this summer takes you back to some of the greatest comebacks in Ohio State football history.
The Buckeyes have something for the LSU Tigers in 1988.
Hear Buckeye Replay this Saturday at 4 p.m. on The Fan.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We'll see a chance of some scattered showers pushing across the area this morning. Otherwise, mostly cloudy skies. Later on today, some showers and thunderstorms redevelop, and some of those could be strong to severe with gusty winds and locally heavy rain. Otherwise, it's a humid day with mixed clouds and sun, highs in the upper 80s. For tomorrow, scattered showers and thunderstorms are likely. Those, too, could be strong to severe. We'll see humid conditions with highs again in the mid-80s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
Coming back. A radio veteran has a large hemorrhoid. Timmy Hall, a good clean boy. Moonlight's as man's hemorrhoid. Common Man and Timmy.
Weekdays at 3.
The Fan. Anthony used to ski in his jeans? Are you serious? No, he's not from New Jersey. Back to Rothman and Ice.
All right, we appreciate the floor is yours participants hanging in there. We admire you. And now we're going to give you your shot at getting the gift card. TLC, who's batting leadoff?
Rich in Upper Arlington.
Rich in UA. The floor is yours.
Okay, here we go. Hall of Fame themed story for everybody. As a kid growing up, I grew up in the south of Pittsburgh, up near the country. The Steelers used to come out and work out. Late at night, midnight, my buddy calls. Barry calls me from 7-Eleven. He's watching the Steelers stand around and watch two drunk rednecks clean up the store. The rednecks had torn up the store and on the way out run into John Kolb, Mike Webster, and Joe Green coming back from lifting weights. And they made sure that the place was neat and tidy and ready to go. So their bad night was a great story, and it's a great mental image of those guys watching those other screw-ups clean up the place. So that's it. Anthony, give me one good golf tip when you have a chance. Thanks.
All right.
Come on. What do you got for him?
One good golf tip.
Yeah. Get them right.
Just the tip. Let's see. I need to know a little bit about the person's game, because I do think that playing to your strength is takes a lot of discipline. You got to know what you can do and what you can't. I've said to people, like, instead of trying to fix your slice on the course, aim left. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
That's honestly, there's no reason to try to do something you can't until you can at a decent 50% or better level. And so that's it. It's honestly, it's play whatever your strength is. And, you know, some people have it, whether that, you know, if you're a good putter, if you think you're a good putter, get on the green one stroke after regulation, try to two putt bogey and move along. Like, give yourself a chance. That would be the simple tip. I could talk for hours. All right. Who's next?
Let's go next to Danny in Delaware.
Danny in D-Ware. Your dime, your dance floor.
Boys, this is kind of a last-minute call. I originally was not going to call in today, but my appointment ended a little early, so I figured my plant wasn't going to make it. I would have to show up for the brand. But quick shout-out to my oldest daughter, who actually got her temps last week. So Danny in Delaware now has a designated driver in training, which I am very excited about for future endeavors. I did want to shout out to the Akron Zips because I did go to Akron for 2 days. So I am rooting for them with the whole season ticket holder. We did go in on it, and I'm hoping that we win. And we're going to throw the annexation of Puerto Rico as the first play of the game if they allow it. And before I go, I need to know from you guys, this may take a little bit longer than expected, but who had the better career? Tom Hanks or Tom Cruise? Enjoy your day, boys.
Appreciate you. A Tom off. Kind of Tom. This is right up your right up your alley.
Nothing
right
horribly
here.
Funny about it. It just sounded funny.
Thank you.
That will be. I'll tell you what. I'll in my mind I'll go through it like their top five or whatever, or there could be depth involved there.
Knee jerk reaction. Yeah. Which Tom?
Hanks.
Okay.
Probably a little more impactful movies, but nothing. That's all. I mean, Hanks. I mean, Cruise. That was my era. Grew up with that. But
what's the movie that comes to mind when I mention Tom Hanks for you? First movie that pops up.
Castaway.
Okay. Yeah. Probably for a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, I think for a lot of people it's probably Forrest Gump. But
true.
But yeah.
That too.
I was gonna say Toy Story 1, 2, 3, mm-hmm. 4, and 5. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'll tell you. Years ago, like 80s, it would be Big. Like that was
I
like
that movie. One.
Yeah, that was really good. That was a good call. All right, who you got?
Let's round it out with Vaughn, who nice. Of course is in Columbus.
Vaughn, the man.
If he's there, hey guys, how are you doing?
Outstanding, good, bud.
How are you?
I'm good. Actually, maybe I'm not too good. My call today is going to focus on these swindlers at these sports books and gambling companies. And has anybody noticed, like, have you gotten close recently and noticed that they're just not giving cash out at the clip that they used to? I had a 12-leg parlay. It was baseball. And the last
what are you doing putting together 12-leg parlays?
Why not? At a lower rate for low risk, high reward? I like those.
Thank you, Rob. There are 15 games a day. If you can get two hitters mm-hmm. a game, you can make a 30-leg parlay. And there's going to be more than two hits in a game. So I'm telling you, I was just making mine right now. There are 10 games today. Screwball is going for the Dodgers. I don't think the Royals could hang with them, but I'm not going to give any more advice because that's y'all dime, y'all dollar, like Rothman likes to say. Here we go. They literally, Perdomo had two at-bats left. They did not offer me a cash out once. I'm 11 for 12. I cannot get any more perfect unless he gets the hit. Who is, I know who's regulating this, but why is it so under wraps? I can't just call the gaming commission and be like, hey, how do you guys ensure, you know, because what's the point of even offering a cash out if you're going to pick and choose and you're not going to offer it when you know the person's going to take it? If I have one person left and I bet, let's say I bet $5 to get 500, right? And I see a $200 cash out pop up, yes, I'm going to take it. So, no, they're not offering it. And then also, when DeWine gets out of here, can we get college sports back? That's when I really used to win. I know the big running back, the starting running back from the big college is going to score when they play Grambling. And that's why they don't want to let us bet on college athletes. Not because they're getting bullied. You can make it up like that. No. I used to smack when Quinshon Judkins was at Ole Miss, Malik Nabers was at LSU. I knew who was scoring every week because college football is much more predictable. And I feel like they are paying these people to limit our bet on college props because it's way easier than NFL.
Okay.
All right, Vaughn. I'll tell you.
Appreciate you, Vaughn.
Yeah, when... Okay, so a couple things there. One, I can't really speak for the cash outs other than the fact that it just depends on how much they're exposed. Like, they know. They know the algorithm. They know the analytics of it. They know the analytics of the bet on what's the likelihood.
Yeah.
And then they're always going to offer, like he's saying, they're not offering him. They should have offered him a better cash out than he got, or a cash out of any kind. That's what he's saying. So, I mean, they're not in the business to lose money, so... I'm a little surprised they wouldn't offer him something if it was a fairly big payout because they don't want to have that risk. But they know the risk of the actual bet that could pay it off, so they know.
And
I'm
with you and Vaughn. I love a good 12-leg parlay. Get that thing under 15. Low risk, high reward.
Yeah, that's
the betting world I like to live in.
Yeah, it'll bleed you out, but it'll take a while.
You just can't do them often, but I like that.
Honestly, I use the 12 game parlay is the gaming equivalent of playing. Like roulette, like where you're playing the corners, or you're playing the columns, or you're playing like you can survive for a while, and that's what they're about. And then maybe hit one, but you're going to lose the other 80% of them. The other thing, what else? Oh, the college sports betting. So he's in my camp in the beginning. I think this was always about how these guys were hearing from people and how come you didn't score, you dropped that pass. I think it is a little bit of both. I really do. But my first instinct was it was the integrity. It was that there was too much temptation for college athletes. They had too much control over how much money was changing hands with their own overs and unders.
And they've been proven right because of the Brendan Sorsby deal. So this ain't going to change anytime
soon. But imagine if every person that played had... an over-under, every skill player, every this, every that, over-under passing yards, all that. And it wasn't necessarily them. It was just the integrity of they have friends, they have roommates, they're on college campuses. There just was a lot going on there. And I think that, to me, was the biggest reason they stopped allowing college athletics to be bet upon because of the integrity of the game part.
So you think it's a maturity thing? Maybe that... guys that are 18 to 22 can't handle it as well as guys that are 23 to 35 or whatever it is, because those guys have been stepping in it as well. I understand Vaughn's frustration.
Those guys usually have more money. Now, in this era, college kids have a lot of money.
Right.
Not all of them, but a lot more than they used to.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my theory, that it was just about, it was just too easy. I remember when it was just offshore betting and... You know, and I've said this on the air before. I've said this to Ian Fitzsimmons once. He disagreed with me, but we had a good conversation about it because he didn't think that it was going to change when gambling became legal. He said that the people who do it are still going to do it. The people who don't. I totally disagreed with that because the access you would have, a lot of people feel very uncomfortable putting their credit card number in a computer and having it go overseas or wherever and... You just, it's a very uncomfortable feel.
Yeah, that's real.
And then receiving a check back from the Bank of London or wherever and trying to walk into Fifth Third and try to cash it. Yeah. So the difference between that and taking a $20 bill out of your pants and walking into a legal casino and saying, I want this on Ohio State today. That's comfort that you don't get on the internet. Mm-hmm. And that's why I told him that it'll bring in a lot more casual bettors who will do it that way because they know where the money's going, they know who it's going to, and they can watch, and they can have it. So that's why I think in this day and age, it's not that a player on a certain team is going to bet themselves, but if they have a best friend or roommate and they say, this guy looked great in practice, or hey, what's the game plan this week? You going to feed this guy 30 times? Like, it became too easy.
And that's just the world of unknown with betting, right? Because we could have, I don't know, Joe Burrow could go home and tell one of his homies, his girlfriend, his dad, or whatever it is, hey, this is what's going on in practice. This is how we're operating. Those things, I think nobody's going to ever be able to bottle that up because that's just out of sight, out of mind. These players are going to do what they want to do when they want to do it. So all of this is going to be delicate and dicey, whether it's in college or in the pros.
It doesn't, in my mind, I'm not saying it doesn't leak to the sharps and the, I'm saying it doesn't leak in the pros. It just seems like at the college level, guys going to class, guys, like, remember, professionals are going to work, they're going to practice.
These guys
they're
going to class anymore. In person, too.
Just saying that there's just more of a chance with 20, 30,000 people on a campus that maybe.
You just don't trust college kids.
My over-under is 74.5.
You just don't trust college kids.
Trust me. Take the over. All right. Who gets it, TLC? You going to pick a winner here?
Rich and UA.
Rich and UA, enjoy a couple cheese conies or a Skyline three-way. Always makes the day better. Feeling good. It's Skyline time. We come back with Adam King at 10 TV. Recap the weekend that was over at Ohio State and training camp. Rothman and I.
Nation. Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door Showroom on Gemini Parkway. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Hear ye, hear ye. You've now entered Adam's King Dumb. With 10 TV's Adam King. Don't be shy. Gather around. Stupid conversation awaits you.
Sponsored by High Bank Distillery Co. Locally inspired dishes and award-winning cocktails. Visit highbankco.com today. Dine, drink, distill at High Bank.
Adam King, 10 TV Sports in the house.
I have to start this segment with something I have never said in my life. I agree with Cole, and it is wild to hear him. He didn't want to die on the hill. He just kind of got out on a ledge by himself, and I'd like to join him on that ledge.
Okay.
I am okay with restaurants not knowing who had the drink before me, but it's
the glass.
The glass. Okay. But it's weird if it's your glass for a year that you've been putting your mouth all over for a year straight. I don't know how well you wash that glass. I don't know what you're drinking out of
it. You don't have to know. You get to wash it. That's the point.
Yes, but
it's got to be your bowl.
It's got to be your bowl. One wash is not nearly enough.
You could wash it 100 times. I mean.
But at that point, I'm going to buy myself a new mug.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But at a restaurant, I'm now disgusted because there's no world where I don't think about the fact that thousands of people.
That's why I thought that my response.
I thought it was a good debate.
Was a quick, like, it hit me such a weird way that, you know, because we do this mystery reveal here. We have our own little mystery box. And I bring back a couple trinkets from the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. One with the Ravens, one with the Vikes, and one with the Steelers. And the whole thing is if Maddie opens up the Vikes, he keeps it for the season. And then I gave him the option. You know, we could always give it back. We could always swap. And now I found out that the two guys I work with do not want to swap with me.
So you better
want to
draw correctly.
Any spit with me.
You better. You know what? I think that's a saying. There's a song from Michael Jackson, "The Man in the Mirror." All right, go home. Think mm-hmm. about that. And ask them, would they swap mm-hmm. with each other? Because that yeah. may tell you more about that you want to know.
I think both things can be somewhat true. I just thought it was weird that he would be more than fine using silverware and glassware at a random person's house, restaurant, cookout, and all of a sudden, for me, it was like, God, no.
You ever unravel the fork and it's still pretty dirty, and you have to send it back?
I think it's not dirty. I don't think it's dirty. I think it's more of like the dish, like spots, like dishwashing yeah. spots.
Well, as someone who was a server, you're supposed to polish. That's a part of it.
Okay.
Everybody's got to polish, you know.
You had to cream and buff it with a fine
yeah.
chamois.
But there are times when you roll it out and you're like, well, that's old mushroom mm-hmm. that's stained to the side of my fork, and now I don't want to eat here anymore. I do not want to mm-hmm. eat at this Chili's.
You hope it was mushroom. Who knows?
Right.
I was out to eat at a nice establishment yesterday with my
oh,
parents.
I'm sorry. I didn't know you had money. Good to hear. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And, well, actually, this is actually good news for you.
Okay.
Because my mom said to me that my favorite segment of the week on your show is Mondays at 1:30 with Adam King.
What's your mom's name?
My mom's name is Mary, a.k.a. Mama Hayes.
Hey, Mama Hayes.
Easy
my
now.
Favorite segment is every dinner that you and I go out to on Tuesday nights.
chill.
Okay, all right.
You better chill out. You better chill out. He also said this.
Seafood dinner.
I find myself agreeing with AR more than you.
Thanks, man.
So I got bodied by my mom twice yesterday. You're her favorite segment of the week, and she's always agreeing with AR, not even her own son. No loyalty to the bloodline. She doesn't care. She loves you guys.
Let me say this.
Yep.
It's because we go to dinner, AR and I, and we just talk about you every Tuesday with Mama Hayes.
Nice to know.
And
as long as you guys are picking up the tab.
AR's picking up the tab. It's very respectable. Mm-hmm. And it's nice because, you know, Cole, we let him come, but he sits at a different table. He gets to kind of chime in every now and then.
But TLC, I didn't have any takes. She didn't have any takes on you. She just didn't have any takes. But these two,
that's fine.
She's all in.
That's okay.
She's all in.
Love to hear it.
Wow.
Love to hear it.
One thing. Mama,
but you know what? I'll say this. If she's listening, she's raised a heck of a kid. Easy. You know, that's the best compliment I can give her. Oh, she said easy. Okay, I take it back.
Come on.
He's a fine young man. What are you, 35 now?
Really is a fine young man. Yeah. All right, he's getting texts apparently
can we
right
talk,
now.
So no, I'm ordering this crew neck that AK has on right now. I got to have or zip up, whatever it's called. I got to have
you it. You got to create a new account because you get the $10 off.
Smart.
Yeah,
I like the way you finesse.
Yeah,
I like that. That's what I'm doing.
I got about 800 emails. Let me tell you, got to always get those coupons.
What did your experience training camp opening weekend week ish? What did that produce for you?
It produced a reminder that we are in the business of overreaction. And until we see otherwise, we're going to overreact to everything. I think I've said the name Isaiah West 800 times. You know what actually is not being talked about enough?
Tell us.
I remember last year during fall camp when people were like, what's your biggest takeaway? And like you could talk about position battles, this, that, and the other. I remember being a little uneasy about Julian. Okay. I remember being like, okay, he's good, but he's not, it's not consistent on every play. This year, that man is cooking. And I think the thing that takes a great quarterback to a next caliber of quarterback is that the 40% of throws that you don't talk about, the 40% of throws that are just routine throws are all, remember CJ Stroud was really good at that. The consistent throws were always consistent. He wasn't missing on those throws.
Make the routine play routine.
I didn't want to steal Ryan's line.
That's his line. But, we've heard that.
But
it's
it really felt like throughout this camp, he made some great throws where you're like, wow, look at that. But then on the average throws, he was spot on. And so it's not wow, it's not oh my gosh, highlight tape. But in the past, he had missed on a couple of those throws in the last fall camp. This time, man, he looks different. He's bigger. He just looks in command. Yeah. His voice when he's yelling out, hur, hur, hur. Oh. I'm like, all right.
Barking?
I mean, he doesn't bark, okay. But you know, it's
kind of what it sounded
yeah,
like.
I'm sorry. I barked. I did bark, but
we were reacting earlier, AK, to your point about Arthur Smith talking about the neck up part of it too, right? So you're talking about the physical stuff that you're seeing, you know what I mean? And now Arthur Smith behind the scenes is seeing that, oh my God, this guy gets up on the board. We can do this. We can do that. So it's probably just all coming together for a guy that's already gifted physically.
Have to think it's because of the Pilates girlfriend, right? Things have just really taken off ever since the New York Post was reporting on his relationships. Mm-hmm. Then now he's at a different level of being a quarterback. Because you're good, but once the New York Post cares about what you're doing in your free time, now you've reached that Tom Brady, Peyton Manning tier of quarterback.
So that was more about him, not about his girlfriend?
What do you mean?
The reason they picked it up.
Yeah, I would assume so. I mean, he's the star of the show.
I don't know.
I just thought it was one of the wilder headlines I've ever seen on my Twitter, and I don't think I'll ever let it go. What are we doing?
What was the headline?
Julian Sain has a girlfriend. The New York Post wrote that article. The New York Post.
My guess is, and I haven't seen it, that his girlfriend is fairly attractive, and you mentioned Pilates, fashion.
Don't cross a line. That's his girl. We would never say that on this show. Julian is an avid listener, and now we've offended Matty Ice's mom, Julian's girl. This segment has gotten out of hand. Mm-hmm. I'm sure she is very nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure.
Because what happens now is on her end, she's probably getting this wave of followers and all that stuff, which can be a good thing, could be a bad thing as well. So sometimes that's why you hear athletes say, I want to protect this family member, whatever it may be. Now she's just, hey, in the spotlight with her guy. And she may enjoy it. Maybe she's like Paul Skeen's girlfriend. Maybe she likes some
of
that.
Wait a minute.
Be in the mix.
Wait a minute. Did you see what just happened there?
What? Uh-huh.
Did you see what? Now, Rothman.
Yeah.
This man tried to pretend
Anthony
like
Anthony to my friends.
He doesn't know the name of Paul Skeen's girlfriend.
Well, I was going to come back around to Olivia.
Follows her on Instagram. DMs her all the time. Doesn't want to act like he knows the name because he's trying to distance himself. Paul Skeen's girlfriend.
I just see them together.
Background on his computer.
Everywhere. Those two are always together, so maybe she'll be, you know, out there at the shoe. Hanging out at the shoe.
Yeah. I'm sure you've done some investigative reporting on this.
I actually have not.
Is she a student at The Ohio State University?
The only thing I know, and it's because someone else told me, because Lene Kakua is a Miami grad, and someone came up to me and said, Julian's girlfriend is a Miami girl. And I said, that's great. What a story. You
good
know?
For him. I hope they're happy.
I hope. Listen, if they win, maybe that's the story the New York Post writes.
Don't be
17-0 Ohio State because of Julian Sayin and his girlfriend. Write that story, New York Post.
All right. You're on it. I mean, you should. Don't wait for them.
Right.
You know, Rothman went real quiet. What? So check his Google history over there. He's been really working on that computer.
Doing the research over there.
The Dispatch wrote a story on it.
The Dispatch wrote a story on it? Oh, my goodness.
When you brought it up, I decided to look for the story.
And
I saw something here in late July.
And we'll get Rothman's take on it after the break. Rothman and I.
If better.
Bobby Carpenter was voted Best Talk Radio Personality by Columbus Monthly readers. Catch Bobby daily on Morning Chew, 6 to 8 a.m. on the Fan's YouTube channel, the Fan app, and on demand on the 10 TV streaming app. Oh, and Tito's there, too.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Weston Air Heating and Cooling and Bryant, doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Anthony finally hit a hole in one.
It's in the hole.
So now what? Just bask in the glory?
And that's how she wrote.
You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
No clue where we left off, but it was something about you and Julian and his girlfriend going to lunch or something.
No. Right. I think it was you Googling Alpha Phi Miami sororities. Is that
you're the one that brought this to the table?
Listen, this is a workplace.
Let's all be honest about if she is a model of some kind, then that's what makes it a story.
You know what we were talking about is how Julian's arm looks fantastic. And he also looks just... I thought it was funny, Arthur Smith, on this very radio station, on 97.1 The Fan, in an exclusive interview, he said, I thought that Julian Sayin was a coach's kid. I thought he was some 14-year-old running around. And now, he doesn't look like that anymore. One offseason with Mick really leaning on him. Toughest guy. You guys heard where Jeremiah said that Mick said he was the toughest guy in the Woody. That's a quite a compliment coming from Mickey Marotti.
So... I wonder, it's all situational in some of these games, right? Throw the ball. Like, it's not like he is his air raid. Like, it's not like he's throwing it 35 times a game. Like, this is, in fact,
it can't be.
It's more of an outlier that he would get to 30 attempts in a game.
I mean, if you look at, I think one of the most interesting statistics in statistics, there we go. I apologize. It's my first time speaking. Is when you look
at. You got a problem with what I'm saying? Untie your tongue and you come out here and talk, huh?
Name that movie, Maddie. Groundhog Day. Anyway, with that said, I think it's interesting when you look at the stats of Ohio State's most passing attempts in a game. I think the number is like three of the top four quarterback passing attempts in a game are losses. So if the Buckeyes get to throw in the 30s or the 40s, things have gone horribly wrong. That's not what they want. They want to run the football. Yeah. And so, I don't know. I think what you're asking for is... 25 solid passes a game from Julian Sayin.
If he threw five times a game and three of them went for 80-yard touchdowns, it's
right. Whatever it's just, the game
honestly,
requires,
I get.
That day,
I understand where you're going, and I brought this up earlier in the show that if you would have told me that Jeremiah Smith was going to catch 15 passes for 300 yards in back-to-back games and they lost, I'd be like,
Okay, that's a little odd. Not only did they lose, they only scored 24 total points. That was last year.
Yeah.
At the end of the season. So feeding him.
Did they really only score 24 points combined between Indiana and Miami?
10 against IU and 14 against Miami.
When you say it like that, that's just.
And that's why when I heard, I don't know, it was Brandon or somebody said about the offenses, what was it, Matt? He said something like, it's going to be unstoppable again. And I didn't know whether he meant again as in like traditionally again.
Mm-hmm. Or last year.
Because it's last year, that's what brought them down, was their ability to run when they needed to be able to score when they needed to. But they played two very, very good teams. It was more of just a reality. They ran into two great defenses. They lost two very close games. They easily could have won. And so that's what they come back this year, knowing how close they were to, again, playing for it all.
And you only scored 14 against Texas. So in those three big-time games, then now Texas game is game one, right? There's not. I think a lot of programs are going to be figuring things out on the fly in game one. But I think that is something that they have to clean up a little bit, is how explosive and balanced they can be in some of these big-time games. And they're going to have a handful of them plus this year with the way that their schedule is on paper right now, okay?
Are you guys football rewatch guys? If a game's on, will you rewatch it that's already happened?
No, because I felt like I did so much of that during the pandemic that now I can't do it anymore.
Okay, I understand. So that's, you just rewatched old games during the pandemic.
There was nothing else. It was just that, and they were shoving Jordan's documentary down our throat.
That's true. I never finished it. What about you, Rothman?
I will rewatch when it comes to the job.
Okay, so today I found myself, I don't know if you guys, there's an app out there a lot of people don't know about. It's called the TikTok. And I was scrolling through the TikTok, and what popped up was the 2021 Buckeye football season. And I think I watched about an 11-minute TikTok of just moving through that year and the Wisconsin comeback in the Big Ten Championship and obviously what happened against Clemson. And it is crazy to me that...
What year?
2021. No, 2019. 2019. Yeah, okay. I'm sorry, I flipped them. Right, I flipped them. Okay. I went the other side. For those at home, they were like, I don't know what this guy's talking about.
I'm hearing something about Clemson and 21.
Yeah, no. Listen, I appreciate it. There's a fact checker at the bottom of the screen.
Just wanted to make sure.
And so, yeah, the year that Fields threw the interception against Clemson. The offense under that... on that season, and that's a Ryan Day offense, looked so different than the offense we see now. It's crazy. And the offense with Stroud, I don't think that we have seen, I guess we got to see it really in those four playoff games when they won the national title. But since the Kyle McCord year, the regular season offense, it feels like has changed in such a dramatic fashion. And I understand it's rep counts and it's everything like that. And nobody talks about that when you're winning. And you know, it's pace of play. But, man, they used to move with Justin Fields and C.J. Stroud. They used to get up on the line and go and go and go and go. And I wonder if we'll see a better balance of that this year. Now, Arthur Smith, you heard him say, you've got to win with the bigs. You've got to win with the running game. So I don't think nobody's going up tempo unless it's necessary. But I think about the big games since the national title game. Ohio State hasn't necessarily been the high scoring, dominant team, even before the national title.
Which is, you got to give credit to the other squad as well. When you get to those moments, those are dudes too. I think you touched on the tempo part of it. Part of the, I think, questioning from some of the Buckeye fans when the Arthur Smith hire was announced was watching some of his offenses in the league. Last year with the Steelers, they were a very slow-paced unit, but maybe that was by design based off of what he had. I have to imagine that they've come together collectively, Arthur, probably Julian and Coach Day and everybody, to figure out how much of that they want to get to, because I do think it is a nice thing to have to throw at a defense, especially late in games, right? Guys may be worn down a little bit. Let's stay out here on the field, go up tempo, not allow them to get to, you know, substitute guys in and out. I would love if they had some of that in their bag, because I do think it can be useful later in contests.
They had a very, very young team as far as skill with Bo and Julian and Jeremiah. And while they're really, really good, they were young. And they also had an unbelievable defense that they could lean on. And the defense last year essentially could have won them a national title.
Yeah.
if not for a couple of mistakes, a pick six, a stupid lineup on a punt, right. whatever. Like, it was that fine. And that's what happens when you get to that level. It is that fine. And so they know. I mean, they were blowing teams out left and right. They didn't have the schedule last year. They have it this year. They'll exploit their weaknesses. They'll be battle-tested. And we'll see what happens when it counts when we get to one-and-done season. But remember, they just were a younger team.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point because I think it probably changes year in and year out for coaches. I think it should change year in and year out for a coach to where you have your system of what you want to do, but if it doesn't pair well with what the guys are ready to do at the time, then you don't do it. You don't force the issue. So I think you watching an offense from a few years ago, it's not surprising to hear that 5 years removed from that, it looks and feels different because personnel has obviously changed too.
Now you could also say, go look at that defense. What was it, 2020, when the COVID year, and say, poof, that defense could have used some help in the Alabama game. Like, things, and also, I think sometimes we forget that Ohio State was ahead of schedule last year. It ended up being surprising because the defense was historically good, but this was always supposed to be the year. Julian, Jeremiah, year two of Julian leading this offense. Now we just got to see the defense has a ton of talent. Mm-hmm. It's exciting. And I like that they're going to play 11 top 15 teams by the end of this thing.
Should be fun.
It's going to be
totally different.
It's going to be a historic season.
And the other thing
Buckeyes.
About it is that it's a cool college football season in that I think there are a handful of teams that really could be in the conversation of winning it all. Like, there's just a lot of depth, I think, in the top half of this poll. They're as good as anybody. They've got equal or better talent than anybody. But in Klatt's poll today, Texas was 7 and Michigan was 10.
It's like, a little high for Michigan.
And maybe a hair low for Texas.
Very much a hair low.
So
the nice thing is, and nobody, you got to win every game at Ohio State, but if they lose two games this year, they still could very much win a national title. So
you don't have to win every game. It's nice if you do. You don't have to.
You do. You got to win the right ones. Because otherwise, the city just shows up at your door.
It's gone. Burned.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Couches are on fire in the middle of the street.
All right, my man. Keep washing those glasses. Make sure you know who does it, and we'll talk to you next week.
I said I agree with TLC. He didn't say a word back. I don't think he liked
it. Because
he
only needed. That fulfilled him for the day right there.
Yeah, he feels full.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
Getting
beautiful
that compliment from his biggest op, I mean, that's as good as it gets.
We're secretly best friends. Don't tell anybody.
Step Rose.
We're getting better at volleyball.
See you, pal. Talk to you soon. That's Adam King at 10 TV. Up next, Jeremy Birmingham checks in from over at Ohio State. We'll get the feel on recruiting and a lot more next. Rothman.
Day started with T-Bone and Tybus weekday mornings from 6 to 9 here on The Fan. You'd think that a radio lifer and a national title winner wouldn't have much in common, but you'd be wrong. They're both girthy. They both love football, and they both get racially profiled for completely different reasons. It's like driving to work with your friends, except these friends give away tickets to things and talk to all the important people in town. Your actual friends are probably a bunch of losers. Well, anyway, listen to T-Bone and Tybus live on the Fan app, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking to audition.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. Three Buckeyes were named preseason All-Americans by On3 today. Wideout Jeremiah Smith was named to the first team, followed by offensive lineman Luke Montgomery and Austin Saravelle to the second and third teams. Also today, Buckeyes receiver and punt returner Brandon Innes was named to the Paul Horning Award watch list, given to the most versatile player in major college football. From the NFL, head coaches will be able to designate a staff member to initiate replay challenges this year. They'll have until before game time to delegate the role to a staff member. Baseball, Guardians and Reds are both off today. Cleveland next travels to the Tigers Tuesday at 6:40. Cincinnati visits the Chicago White Sox Tuesday at 7:40. This update sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union. Take a vacation from high interest rates with special rates on balance transfers at BMI Federal Credit Union. BMIFCU.org/Visa. Breaking sports news when it happens right here with The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Most shows just skim the surface, but Rothman and Ice feel like the biggest story of the day deserves a closer look. It's time for A Deeper Dive.
Sponsored by Orthopedic One, Central Ohio's most trusted orthopedic practice. Find a physician or location near you at orthopedicone.com.
All right, final hour of the program. We'll have Ian Fitzsimmons, bottom of the hour at 2:30. And we'll continue with some Buckeye talk with our friend Jeremy Birmingham. Of course, Ohio State recruiting and more. Letterman Row
on three. Of course, here at the Fan, Berms is on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems Fangest Hotline. Welcome back.
Good afternoon. How art thou?
We are outstanding. I hope things are going well for you. We always talk about the future. It's tough to stay in the present, but when you beat out a big school to get a five-star quarterback, it becomes news, even though it won't be around for a couple years. But why don't we start with that? This kid, Christopher Vargas, announced on Saturday he's picking Ohio State. You can tell me who was close in this race. In your mind, people you talk to, he is the number one quarterback in that class. Tell us about him and tell us how they won this.
Yeah, I mean, basically they won it the old-fashioned way. It's a relationship that Ohio State has been building over the last 3 years already. Chris was a guy that they had on campus for a camp before his freshman year of high school. Really liked what they saw then. 6 months later, in November of 24, he was on campus for the Ohio State-Michigan game that day, was offered then. And really, you know, because of contact rules, because of the way that you have to communicate throughout these classes, it's really important to get him on campus because you're not allowed to just reach out whenever you want for the 28 class until this past June. So it's been important to Billy Fessler and Ryan Day have just been able to maintain and build this relationship. Chris was on campus in June for 3 days within his family, and that's really when everything kind of seemed to get sealed. So it's a big pickup, 6'5", almost 200 pounds, a kid that the Buckeyes really like. He can throw all over the field. He's going to have to get more mobile, but everyone does. But plenty to like there.
You know, Berman, it's really tough to predict the future in college football right now, especially obviously with, you know, the movement that we see now with the portal and all that. But paint the picture of the quarterback room moving forward for Ohio State, the guys that are in there, and just how you think this may shake out over the next couple of years.
Well, obviously the ideal situation for Ohio State is that Tavian St. Clair develops into the five-star number one overall player that he was when he was coming out of Bell Fountain. He's been on campus for but a year and a half now for Ohio State, starting to see some steps being made in the right direction. We assume, I guess everyone does, that Julian Fain will wrap up his Ohio State this season. And if that's the case, certainly it lines up for a third year Tavian St. Clair to take over the reins there. But I would expect that Ohio State, based on the current roster, if Julian were to leave, I think the Buckeyes would still probably go out and try to make a splash from a transfer standpoint after this season, just to give somebody a little bit more solid competition than maybe what you'd expect out of a second-year Luke Fahey or Justin Martin at that point, who was basically, you know, just exhausting his college career. So Tavian is the key. Tavian is the linchpin. If he can do what you think he does from a physical standpoint, and if you can see the mental side of the game start to pick up for him, he can be really special. And that's obviously the preferred path for Ohio State.
Jeremy, I've talked about what this offense can be, what they need to be. Jeremiah had great games, even in the losses against Indiana and Miami. He had great stats, but it didn't translate to wins. It didn't translate to a lot of points. I think we all believe that Arthur Smith can elevate this running game with Bo and the rest. Are you in the camp of that there's a two-headed monster in that backfield, a bell cow back, a committee? What's your thought?
I think I'd probably lean more towards that you have a bell cow duo that you really believe in with Isaiah West and Bo Jackson. And, you know, there's a lot of discussion these last few days about Bo because Isaiah was out there with the first team the majority of the time on Thursday and Friday. But I think this is just a situation where Ohio State wants to challenge Bo Jackson a little bit and say, hey, there's nothing assumed here. Just because you ran for more than 1,000 yards as a freshman, just because you were able to get yourself a little bit of extra pay this offseason, from the NIL perspective, you are not assumed to be the starter by these guys that are making the decisions. So you got to go out and earn it. And I think in an ideal situation, you have a very healthy Bo Jackson, a very healthy Isaiah West, and you let those guys split the carries pretty much between the two of them. And then you mix in Jacoby Jackson or Legend Bay as more of a versatile weapon out of the backfield, guys who can do multiple things. Legend is going to have to get up to speed a little bit, but the Buckeyes see him, and we saw it at practice over the last couple of days. The way they were using the backs really sort of changed when Legend was available on Saturday. You saw him spread out wide,
saw the Buckeyes go empty in the backfield a few times, which is not something we've seen them do much in the last few years.
Berm, is there anything that you think is maybe flying a little under the radar that you think needs a little bit more attention? Something that happened, let's call it, over the last week that maybe is flying under the radar a bit that you think in your mind is fairly important?
From the team perspective?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the emergence of Devin McEwen as a not just a quality depth piece at wide receiver, but a potential game changer as the wide receiver number two opposite Jeremiah Smith, because Devin's ability to line up out wide and get vertical and make defenses have to respect to him as an alternate option to Jeremiah Smith taking the top off the defense, I think is huge for JJ. I think it's huge for Brandon Ennis. I think it's huge for the tight ends that are still trying to develop and figure out their role in this passing game. And Devin McEwen on Thursday and Friday was electric, just electric. And the Buckeyes made him a priority in the offseason when they were looking for transfers, which is just not something Brian Hartline ever did. He never brought in a transfer wide receiver. So you went into it with Ryan Day having a clear focus of wanting to get faster, wanting to be more explosive on offense. And Devin McEwen certainly showed that he can be that guy.
The replacements on defense, can you kind of give us an X factor, you feel, to this defense, if it needs
it's interesting because all offseason long, the conversation has been really about Christian Allegro as being an X factor, or Earl Little and his ability to be versatile and move around in the safety room. Ironically, I think that the guy that will determine how these alignments really come into play might be freshman Jay Timmons, because the conversation around Jay and his role, it seems like he is pretty entrenched right now as the first option when the Buckeyes have an extra corner out there and lining him up in the slot, which means that Earl Little and Jalen McClain are both moving back to more of a traditional deep safety role. So I think that it's Jay Timmons is one of them. And then, again, I go back, but I think Christian Allegro and his ability to play up at the line of scrimmage or play as an off-ball linebacker give the Buckeyes not the same high-level athleticism that you had with Arvell Reese, but a guy that can do some of the similar things.
Nice stuff, my man. Always good to have you. You know, we'll see you around the station soon. Thanks, Berm.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
Jeremy Birmingham was on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems fan guest hotline.
You know, he brought up Devin McEwen, and you know, we were talking earlier about Arthur Smith and a little bit about the offense. A lot of new names to know on defense, but I think on the offensive side of the ball, that has a chance to be a unit where we're talking about a lot of experience. The upperclassmen, the unit up front with the offensive line, Julian in year two, Jeremiah where he is in year three, and then Devin McEwen comes in as a guy that is an upperclassman as well. So offensively, while yes, there's a new coordinator in the building, and we know Coach Day is going to have his fingerprints all over the offense, that's a pretty, what should be a mature unit on that side of the ball, AR, is the offense this year.
Arthur Smith is carrying a lot of pressure. You know, you could throw him in the cooker right now and just say, hey, take this offense to a level. You got all the talent you need. Yep. And this is going to be a journey for them and an evolution of an offense. We know what they have on the outside. We know what they have at quarterback. But it's about being great when they have to against really good defenses. And they'll get tested early at Texas. And then we'll find out maybe where the offense is in week two versus what it needs to be later. But that is going to be, I mean, he's going to carry the weight of the world. He knows it because he's got the talent to do it.
Right, and I'm sure he and Coach Day, when he, Arthur Smith, got here, hey, what do you like to do? What works well for you as a play caller? This is what works well for us. Let's meet at the 50-yard line in this playbook and figure it out. So you want all the knowledge you can get as a coach, and Coach Day, I think, has been pretty open, obviously, to bringing in all these former head coaches, because sometimes, you know, egos can get involved, and you just never know with this thing. Coach Day seems doesn't care about any of that. It's just about bringing in the best minds, and that's great stuff.
There's an old quote that I've always loved, that the most important thing to do when you find yourself in a hole, stop digging. You'll hear it next. Rothman.
And Common Man and Timmy.
First we cornhole, then we glory
then
hole.
You never do glory hole first.
You have to.
And then cornhole.
Proper order to this.
Right. Common Man and Timmy, afternoons on the Fan. It's sponsored by the Hinderer Motor Company.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We'll see a chance of some scattered showers pushing across the area this morning. Otherwise, mostly cloudy skies. Later on today, some showers and thunderstorms redevelop, and some of those could be strong to severe with gusty winds and locally heavy rain. Otherwise, it's a humid day with mixed clouds and sun, highs in the upper 80s. For tomorrow, scattered showers and thunderstorms are likely. Those, too, could be strong to severe. We'll see humid conditions with highs again in the mid-80s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
If you haven't thought about Buckeye football today, I'm sorry to tell you that you're dead. Our condolences. Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. Rockman and Ice present Pre-Snap Reads.
Sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, call Dr. Mark Levy today at 1-800-MORE-SLEEP.
All right, TLC. The Hall of Fame trinket reveal.
Oh,
is
yeah.
happening right now.
Okay. Let's go.
Let's get it. This is one wrapped.
Is that a thing of toilet paper? What is that? Kind of looks like it.
Yeah.
I could use it.
Yeah. It's kind of sandpapery.
Okay. Not it does bad. Look like that for me.
All right. So there's one, Maddie.
Okay. This is me?
Well, no. You get to choose. I just don't want you to have the x-ray vision. Last year.
Get my sound effect.
Don't stare. Don't be doing that. You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to, like, shell game that thing. Now, last year, so we know one of them's a Viking, one of them's a Raven, one of them's a Steeler.
Yeah.
Last year, you were able to pick the Raven one. You used your Spidey sense, mm-hmm. a little mm-hmm. bit x-ray vision, maybe, mm-hmm. and you were able to do that.
Yeah.
You have a 33 1/3% chance mm-hmm. to pull this off again.
Okay. So this is bad radio, but the way AR set this up is there are two cups.
You can hold it up to the
camera. The way you set it up, because this is my theory here, the way you set it there are two cups closest to me, and then there's one behind me.
I did not do that. I don't know which one is in there.
So my thought is that AR put the Ravens cup furthest from me.
I don't know.
He's trying to fool me with trickery.
I didn't do anything.
He claims
he did. All I did is take it out of a bag.
All right, I'm not going to waste any time. We're going with this.
Oh, so you didn't take the one the farthest away.
No.
All right, hold it up.
And with the first pick
in the trinket draft. Oh, my goodness.
Oh no.
Goes with his...
Black and yellow.
It was coming.
Why don't you read off all them Hoffers on there?
Yeah, that's a good list, man. This is nice. This is really, really nice if I were a Steeler fan.
It's going to be great on my desk.
Right, because we're not swapping spit today. Like
you can't say that like we do it any other day. Please clarify that.
Hold on. Let's clarify that. We don't do that on other days as well.
I can't get over
this is nice.
That if you had a mug and someone had taken some sips out of it and you took it home and put it in the dishwasher and washed it.
Look at that.
It's all yours.
Sorry, Eric. Continue your thing, because he's got you so...
All right, now which one do you want? You want the one on facing? You want the...
I'll go the right, the one that you're holding right now.
Yeah. All right, Maddie, unveil that for
fire
him.
Fire it off.
So, what would
it's either a Raven or a Vike. I'm really hoping it's a Raven, because then I'll get mine.
And with the second pick...
And the Pro Football Hall of Fame annual trinket draft.
It's going to be purple. I know that.
The fighting TLCs have selected.
Am I taking Alan Page or am I taking Jonathan
the Ravens?
The Baltimore Ravens.
That one looks pretty good, though, too, to be honest.
Of course it does.
We
got the best colors in the game.
And look who's on it.
Reed, Ogden. Not that many.
I only see two on here. I just see Ogden and Lewis. That's all I see.
Do you know how badly I wanted you to get that because it has Ed Reed on it?
This is sweet. I liked it.
And then.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. There was one.
Alan Page.
The Purple People Eaters.
Fran Tarkin.
Carter Dolman. Tark Randall. Paul Krause. Alan Page. Ron Yeri. Zimmerman. Mick Tinglehoff. Randy Moss. Jared Allen. Carl Eller. Hutchinson and McDaniel. Bud Grant in there as well.
Wow.
All right, there you go.
Now, the Ravens haven't been around as long.
No, we've been around since 96.
So
we only got three of these.
You got time. We can put it in context, but you know the font for your names is huge because it needs to fill up the mug because there aren't that many names.
Right. You guys got founders and owners and coaches and just a whole bunch of people representing that logo up there in Canton.
You had a good eye.
They had to go in the back to get that one.
And I thought they were out of the Steelers. I thought that sold out of the Steelers because there was just Ravens and Vikes. And I said, because I couldn't do the Hall of Fame name mug if there was no Steeler. I would have had to go with something
else. Well, we appreciate it.
Yeah, we do. I don't think I've ever heard a Gen Z or AR use the word snazzy.
That's
an old soul. He just dropped that one. That's an old school right there. Yeah,
it I knew AR sharp would appreciate snazz.
That. Sharp, too. Yeah, that's another one. My dad was big on sharp.
Dapper.
Yep. Yeah. Well, thank you, AR. Appreciate you.
Nothing. All right, so I got to give it to him a little bit. He stepped in it. I don't know why he did this. It shouldn't have landed with anybody, even pre-speech. I've not heard it from the Purdue AD. I don't know whether he came up with it on his own and then decided to just do it, because all three of us said, why didn't he just run that by some people? And then they would have just, let's Sharpie that thing out of there.
Yeah, let's leave that one alone.
And so this was from, he was on McAfee's show.
Yeah, do you want to play the original?
Yeah, I'll play the original. And then good for him for facing the music right away, realizing it failed. He went for a cheap laugh, West Lafayette, and then he decided to follow it up with a, I don't know what came over me, I guess.
All right, so here's the original. This is the new Purdue athletic director, Tommy McClelland. This was at his introductory press conference.
Every recruit, every current student athlete will hear this message repeatedly. We are here to win championships. If you don't want to win championships, go to Indiana.
Which would have been somewhat okay a couple of years ago. Honestly. Forget all the soccer titles, which they've won a lot. And like, he could have gotten away with that to some degree, because Indiana has won a hoops title since 87, and they haven't won football ever. And so he actually could have slithered out of it. Mm-hmm. The timing of it is so absurd that the doormat of all doormats actually went 16-0, and they're the defending champs, and that's what you bring to the presser?
It's a mess.
It was West Lafayette. All right, so he went on.
What would Sebastian Maniscalco say about that?
Why would you do that?
All right, so what did he say to McAfee?
Yeah, this is an incredible opportunity for us to reestablish what can be possible. Hey, listen, when you have 600,000 living alums, so the eighth largest alumni base in the entire country, and right 55-ish thousand students on our campus, that gives you a critical mass of opportunity to do something special. You're in the Big Ten Conference, and you have an incredible coach like Matt Painter who's doing a remarkable work. We want to make sure that standard that he has set in this department permeates throughout the entire all sports, okay? And so while the one-liner, I would say it this way, listen, while the one-liner joke that I gave yesterday about an in-state rival, come on, man, it's an in-state rival, it didn't land well. But I can tell you this, Pat, that we are going to build programs here that are better at winning championships than I am at one-liners.
Okay. All right. So he crawled out of it. He stopped digging. That's good. He admitted it failed, and that was it. It was.
Here's how it hit me. I think he's calling all of those alum, the 600,000, whatever that number is. Where's your money? That's what I heard. If you guys want Purdue to get on the map the way that I believe we can, we need the investment from you guys. That's what I just heard, amongst some other things. But when he mentioned the alumni part of it, if Indiana, right? Now they've got big time guys, Cuban and the rest. But if Indiana, a team that wasn't in the mix a few years ago in football specifically, can do that quickly, then why can't we?
So then why not use that?
Well,
why not say
fair question, but
our
I'm just
biggest
saying,
rival just won it all?
Yeah.
That doesn't sit well here.
Yeah, here's
we need to light a fire under this program and this administration, I'm here to do that.
I think that was part of what he's just explaining to McAfee.
But if you don't want to win, go there.
Well, then he kind of say, come on, guys, it was an in-state, you know, in-state rival. What do you expect from me? Like, he did throw it.
All right, so basically, he wanted to zing him a little bit in some way, but
like he and when I heard him say that, I guess he couldn't believe that we were reacting to his joke that way, because we're supposed to just understand that because it's an in-state rival, those things are automatics. Those type of jokes. I mean, I guess, not really, but like
here's
you said,
where we can defend him, though.
You can't make that joke right after Indiana just won the title. That's
technically,
all.
Indiana has zero championships in the Tommy McClelland Purdue era. So maybe he's saying they're not going to win anymore.
That would have been a wilder take.
Yeah,
that would have been a crazier take for me.
The Hoosier Championship stops here. Yeah,
that's worst.
Yeah. I'm here to ensure.
That Cignetti guy.
What if he just
went up there? Jerk store call. They're running out of you, Cignetti.
What if he went up there and just said nothing about Purdue and was like, listen, Indiana's reign stops here.
Your reign is over.
He could have dropped. He could have gone a little trestle in however many days in Bloomington, Indiana. You're going to be proud of our young people in the classroom, most importantly. But I mean, he could have done it.
Here's
he could
have
gone that
though.
Route.
All the stuff that he listed is not unique to him. So he was talking about, oh, we got all this giant alumni base, and we're this and we're that. Well, first of all, Indiana's number one, so that really flies in the face of the point that he was trying to make. And he said that Purdue was number seven in the alumni base. The top five are all Big Ten schools. So whatever he's trying to accomplish is everybody else is like one step ahead.
Fair.
Fair. And so, like, obviously he has like a lot in his hands trying to win championships at Purdue, yeah. But I just didn't think he was doing a great job of making those points.
Listen, like Matty said, he's got a fundraise. That's the skill that got him the job in the first place after helping Vandy sign off on their first major stadium renovation and in 4 decades and all that. Like, so he's got to keep up with his biggest rival. And he certainly didn't keep up with him at the podium. So
here's what he should have said.
We don't just beat top 25 teams. We beat the shit out of them.
Well, and that's the other funny thing. It's not like Purdue's even been competitive with IU the last couple of years. It's 122-3 in the last 2 years.
Wow.
Like,
they're going straight BTA on them.
Like, come on, man.
Give me the window of time and record again.
He just walked his team into Bloomington this year off that presser.
It's insane.
122-3 in 2 years.
Oh.
Like, all right. Stops now.
That's 61-3 and 61-0 on average.
Yeah. Curb stomping the boys.
I mean, he did write it himself. At least he admitted that, right? No one else prepared that for him.
I don't know.
He was just winning the press conference goes wrong.
Yeah, that's it.
And then you lose the press conference,
and then you're probably going to lose 50-0 to Indiana this year.
Somebody wrote on this was on SI of what he should have said. Like, if McClellan had said something like this, it would have been received in an entirely different way. Like, I know there are plenty of people in this state who celebrated Indiana winning a national championship. I hope they celebrated enough because that's history. So that goes to your point. And now it's our time. Their time is over. I'm sick and tired of hearing how Indiana won the national title. All right, we got Ian Fitzsimmons in 2 minutes. We'll get his take on that and a lot more. Stick close, Rothman.
The radio station is more than 100 years old. And during that time, absolutely no one has hosted more shows than the Common Man.
I don't know why we're bragging about that, but I just read the copy, okay?
And then there's Timmy.
What can I say about good old Timmy?
Well, he's a heck of a guy.
All right, let's cut the bull.
Common Man and Timmy host a show that'll make you laugh at immature things, overreact to whatever's going on in the world of sports, and probably embarrass themselves in the process.
And we love them for it.
Common Man and Timmy. Weekdays from 3 to 6 on The Fan.
Friend. Rossman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
No one funks up the work microwave like these two. Fish again? You're listening to Rossman and Ice.
My man, Ian Fitzsimmons, sideline reporter, ESPN, Amber and Ian, co-host. It's on the Bryant Heating Coin Systems Fangus Hotline. How are you doing, brother?
Man, do you guys really have people that put fish in the microwave in the old workplace?
Yeah, I used to do that. I'm not big on it anymore, Fitzy.
Dude, that's unsportsmanlike conduct. Oh,
see, here's
man.
The thing, I mean, man. You put a lid on that thing, man. You'll be good. You'll be good. I look out for the folks.
Once it exits the microwave and you take the lid off, that kitchen just, I mean, it's just
thing. Down. Does it, depend on the kind of fish?
Good question. I think salmon would probably make that joint reek pretty well, pretty good. Yeah, I'm not a fan. Matty, you shocked me there, bro. I was expecting that from AR, not you.
So here's what usually happens when I do that, Fitzy. I'll usually hop in like a side studio and eat my lunch for the day. So I'll stink up a whole studio.
A little bit.
Yeah, so I'll stink up a whole studio, but not the whole building.
Hey, we're going to strip the paint off the aux studio, right?
Yeah.
With some nasty-ass microwave salmon. Other than that, we're good.
Nothing wrong with crop dusting the sales department, right, on the way out of the microwave. All right, here's another one for you. Let's say a buddy of yours or a friend of yours had a really cool like mug or glass or something like old school, something you always admired, liked or whatever. And he decided to give it to you. And it was just a glass. Like, let's say, I don't know, it had Hall of Famers on it or whatever. And you put it in your dishwasher and you washed it. And would you feel comfortable?
No. Wait, no, hold on. Like, you put it in your dishwasher. I thought you were going to say, like, something peeled off and he wanted the glass back.
No. He just gave it to you and you said, oh, no problem. Okay. I'll wash this and use it.
Okay.
Yeah, right. You go in a restaurant, you use silverware and glassware. People.
Why, does somebody have a problem with that? No. I mean, yeah. So he gave you his old coffee mug. Like, here, man, I'm going to give this to you.
Yeah, or boy, the loose cannon in the behind the glass here. He's got a problem with it. He said he couldn't do it. Yeah, he said.
It got washed, didn't it?
That's what I thought. You just wash it.
Let me ask you this, cowboy. Do you when you go to somebody else's house for dinner, right? Are you using their glassware?
If they have a special cup that I see them use every time, I'm going to request a different one. But just a general one that they put out of the cupboard.
His favorite.
Well, what about a fork? I mean, they're using the same forks every night. You're not going to use a fork. You're going to bring your own like set of plastic utensils.
No, I'm not doing that.
That's the key, though. When you're hosting, Fitzy, is if it's a cookout, we're not using silverware, right? We're using paper plates, red Solo cups, and plastic forks.
Now
and
that's what I wanted to do. So we had a bunch of like, we have our adopted kids, right? That friends and or kids of friends that moved to Dallas or go to SMU or TCU or whatever. Or they come here after college. We're just trying to put some good karma out there for our kids into the ether, right? So we've gone through about 15 of these kids, and now we're on hopefully our last two. And so we did a chicken and sausage gumbo last night with the homemade rosemary sourdough bread. My wife made a buttermilk pie with some vanilla bean ice cream on that mug on top. We got filthy fat, right? And I'm telling my wife, let's use plastic bowls or paper plates and bowls and plasticware because we got like 15 people coming over. She's like, no, hell no. We're going full on. I'm like, well, who's going to wash it? I'm the one that has to do that.
Yeah,
exactly. So I had to cook it and clean it when we could have gone on paper. I'm with you, AR. I'm all about. If you're having a gathering, hell with it. Red Solo cup.
Let's go.
We fill you up. I mean, come on, man. Yeah, we're going paper and plastic. I'm with you.
I saw that Joel Klatt put out his preseason top 25, and the two that jumped out to me was he had Texas at 7. That seemed a little low. And he had Michigan at 10. Which one surprises you more?
And I think he had LSU at 8, didn't he?
That sounds right.
Yeah, all three. Every one of them. Michigan, too high, got to prove it. Even with a guy, you guys know my relationship with Kyle Whittingham, now the head coach of the Wolverines. Known him for damn near 25 years. Those guys are going to come, man, and knock the elbow up and snot out of you. They are just going to be a physical, hard-nosed football team. But I got to see it first. I mean, he's only had one class in there, right, or one portal period. LSU, same thing, man. We haven't seen Sam Leavitt. I don't know how they're going to gel. I have no idea. So, I mean, I'll be there week one for Clemson at LSU. I have no clue what LSU's got right now. And in Texas, I know they've got. They're loaded. They are absolutely loaded. So to have them at 7, LSU right behind them at 8, and then Michigan, I mean, two of those three, I got to see it first to believe it.
Before we brought you on, we were reacting to Purdue's AD, right? The comments about Indiana last week and just all of that. And what game is this man trying to play? That's what we were talking about. So what do you think he was trying to do, Fitzy?
I really cringed because, remember, that was a scripted statement. Now, he admitted on McAfee's show that he went off script with the, if you don't want to win championships and go to Indiana, and then he acknowledged that was a wet to bed moment. I mean, that was caught looking. That was about as bad as it gets. It was just an awful, awful look. So yeah, it is mea culpa, but that's one. If you're a Boilermaker fan, if you're Drew Brees, right, you get ready to go into camp and you're going, oh Lord, really, man? I was in a damn good mood. I got a second line lined up with Trombone Shorty leading me in the way with my gold jacket into my party, and my AD does this. I was in a really good mood getting ready for the for induction into the hall, and I got my athletic director for my beloved Boilermakers doing this. It was bad, but at least he came back and owned it and had his mea culpa going, you know what? I was a moron. I went off script, and I shouldn't have said it.
That's right. Trying to ingratiate himself to a fan base. Let me take a shot at the rival. That's the currency they all love. And, you know, Maddie and I talked about this last week. We somewhat disagreed on this. Like, Maddie thinks your boy swung and missed at the Big Ten meetings, Whittingham, with the comments about, you know, there's no hatred and rival, there's respect, and I know the implications of it, that he didn't come in strong. But I thought, you know, at least he was authentic to himself, and Maddie admitted that too. But
that ain't Whit. Whit's not going to give you a bunch of bulletin board. Whit's not going to give me. Remember, it's a guy played at BYU. His dad played at BYU, and he ends up coaching the Utes, right? I mean, the other color for two decades, man, and had not multiple undefeated seasons, barely missed the college football playoff by a play or two, not once, not twice, but three times. But he doesn't talk noise, man. That is one thing you're not going to hear from him. He's going to give the utmost respect to anybody they're playing. Like, he could be playing Weehaw State, Matty, and he's going to go, look, it's a tough football team.
No, listen.
It doesn't matter. He is not going to talk trash about anybody, including your arch rival. You know what he's going to do? How he's going to do his talking? He's going to want to come in there and punch you right in the mouth and whip your ass. That's Kyle Whittingham.
What you just said, Fitzy, is where I ended up. Because I said at the end of the day, that comment's not really going to matter that much because we know what type of football he's going to have his teams playing. And it's a brand of football you got to respect. All I was saying is I think you should be careful saying to a fan base that what the fans care about the most, almost, in the game, he doesn't really feel that way right now. I just think that's a little bit of a dicey game to play. Of course, he's going to have his guys geared up and focused as much as they can before that game. I just thought, hey, you don't have to go all in faking it the way Brian Kelly did down there at LSU, but play the game. Just play the game a little bit was my stance when it came to those comments.
I can understand that. I mean, you know, like Tess just came right in and said, hey, boys, I'm here. Let's go. We're going to whip your butt, right? This is a complete opposite, but that's just wit. So, I mean, look, Matty, I understand what you're saying, but that dude is—you're not going to hear him say one negative thing about any opponent that he's faced as a coordinator, head coach, Utah, now the head coach for that team up north.
Yeah, I mean, listen, some coaches feel that I'll save the talk for the locker room. I'll save the—you know—I don't need to pep talk my team here in public. But yeah, I mean, it's an interesting thing. It didn't hit me the way it hit Matty, but we'll find out on the field because that's the best way to find out. All right, so were there any other? I mean, he's got USC above Penn State. That makes sense. He had USC below Michigan. I know
USC's good. Yeah. USC's pretty damn good, boys.
Yeah, so he obviously, I mean, he's got a middle of the pack, but certainly he likes Michigan more. I mean, Lincoln Riley has taken a lot of crap for basically saying that only now, entering his fifth season, that the window is open for them to contend. But you believe it, that Meava, and he's a fourth-year college starter, and he's got a new defensive coordinator, and
again,
Gary Patterson, right?
Yeah, GP's out there, man. Yeah. Now, look, that's a mad scientist. You get that dude in the lab, and he's just hitting. He's got that clicker, start, stop, start, stop. He'll find a weakness, man. So, but the problem with USC is, take a look at their schedule, guys. It's tough. Mm-hmm. It's very, very, very difficult. But this is, I had a long conversation with Lincoln Riley at Big Ten Media Days, man. And look, he truly believes this is by far the deepest team on both sides of the ball. That's the key right there. Both sides of the ball that he's had since he's been at SC. Now, he's taken some flack for that because it's, hey, why is it taking so long to have, you know, this much depth? Especially with the resources you have out there. So that's a guy right now, man, he's got to win. You know, and Link's not afraid to talk a little noise also. So, Matty, that'll make you happy. But this is one of those he has to win this year. And that's all there is to it. And oh, by the way, he loses the starting center last week, right? There you go. Yeah. Bam.
Well, here's what I think he needs to do. I don't. Maybe doesn't or does have to make the playoff. I don't know. I think if he picks off a big boy, like he gets Oregon and Ohio State both at home this year.
Yep.
If he could pick one off, then the fan base will feel like there's something there. If you could go to Bloomington and win, like if he just gets a signature of some kind this year, maybe it'll think they're going in the right direction.
He hadn't had it since year one with Caleb Williams.
That's right.
Think about that.
My man, always great to have you, brother. Have a great week. We'll talk soon.
Hey, aren't we all shocked that Congress and the Senate couldn't get anything done, right? If athletic people can't figure out how to fix athletics, how the hell is our government? Our government, like, they got nothing else to deal with, right? Yeah, there we go. Hey, good job, boys. Way to be. Way to dominate up there on the Hill. Appreciate you. Way to be.
Thanks, buddy. See you, pal.
See you guys.
Oh, yes. More race for control. All right, we come back. Play Tell the Truth next. Rothman.com.
All your favorite fan shows are on YouTube. Along with those fake YouTube ads like Chew This Gum and It Grows New Teeth. Experience the splendor of Bose sitting in his closet, Timmy Hall's gouty gold chains, and Matty Ice wearing a coat in 90-degree weather. It's all there. Head to YouTube and subscribe today.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
Tell the Truth with Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by McDaniel GM Superstore. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
All right, TLC, take us home, my man.
All right, question number one in Tell the Truth. Will you be taking seatbelt advice from Bill Simmons?
Do you know from driving with me, I never buckle it, and I just wait the minute until it stops doing the noise.
Well, you don't buckle your seatbelt ever?
Nah, not really.
That's a terrible.
Well, I know. I'm not proud of it. I'm not proud of it. I just don't like seatbelts. I know. Listen, I know I'll get skewered. I'm a bad example.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll put them on. If I'm going, like, 95 on the highway, I might throw it on there. But
I mean, that's a whole other podcast.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
The take got worse.
All right, so
it went on.
You'll break the law that way, the other way.
Right.
I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I've fastened it the very second. I would say 90% of the time it's on before I put the car in drive. There are some times where I'd be leaving the neighborhood and I'll reach over where the car is actually moving. I don't have it on yet. But that's a take from 1982. That's a take from, like, I've told Bobby, like, my stepdad's old joke was when my mom used to yell at him, put the seatbelt on, he'd be like, well, when the crash happens, I want to be as far away from it as possible. And I always thought, it was somewhat clever as a kid.
Yeah,
but that's fine. You want to endanger yourself and break the law in doing it, whatever. Like, I would be, this isn't the old day, like, where, like, my dad would be like, oh, I'm wearing a suit and I don't want to make the suit, I don't want to put the seatbelt over the
or
suit.
Or like a t-shirt that you ironed or something. Like, you go, know what I mean? You don't want to wrinkle that up. Yeah.
Well, you just
got to do it. I mean,
he just basically told, I don't know if cops know where he lives or what neighbor, where
he's in LA or
like
Boston,
he just alerted every single person that. But I mean, for a guy in his mid 50s to have that take, like, you'd almost expect that from, like, a high school kid or, like, somebody
that just got their license or something. Yeah, like,
it doesn't look cool to wear it, right?
Yeah, right.
So
right.
All right.
Just a bad take. That's all it is.
I guess he feels protected by the airbag. The airbag is my seatbelt.
I guess.
Free Jeff Sobota and Bob McElligott.
You had me curious, though, about the pod. Like, that was an interesting, like, how that would come up. He just out of the blue just admits,
hey, not only do I not wear my seatbelt, I drive 95. Not 85.
No, he says when he does drive 95, that's when he puts
it on. When he puts it on.
Yeah.
Do you pay extra for the addition of avocado or guacamole on your order?
I don't eat avocado, guacamole, anything. I don't think eat anything avocado related, TLC. I can't. It's the visual part of looking at something that's green and mushy that I can't get past. It is a very immature thing. I will admit that.
What, you think it looks like throw up or something?
Yes, that's what I think of when I look at guacamole. So everybody tells me how great it is. I just can't get over that mental hurdle. So it's kind of like how you guys go to the stall. That's like an odd one for me.
Everyone's got their own mental hurdles.
That I can look at a food item and not be able to consume it.
All right, first, I don't go to the stall. That's his game. That's his racket.
Yes, I go to the stall to avoid the urine.
But I've admitted that sometimes it does take a little bit to kind of, like, trick your mind into, like,
that's crazy, man. That's my mind doesn't think about anything at all outside of getting the job done.
Now, as far as the guac goes, no, I enjoy it a lot. The question's a good one about paying the extra. Like, that's I would say it's probably half the time.
Just reach over and steal it. Yes. Why not? Let me get that scoop over there.
Get your claw out of the salsa.
And by the way, we got the people that lean over the glass at Chipotle. That's got to stop. That is, you should not be able to order.
That did that.
Wait, back up.
What's going on?
So they reach over. I'll take some of that.
Like they're looking over.
Who reaches their hands over the glass?
I haven't seen hands, but I've seen leaning over, like lips and nostril over the glass. And it's like, back up. You can see it already.
Yeah.
So if you're that person at Chipotle, you deserve an hour or two in jail for doing that.
I have
that.
Not seen this.
Yeah.
But that is.
You got
to. Mm-hmm. I think it's just unnecessary. I think it's some kind of instinct. It's not like.
Give me my
food. There's no self-awareness. It's just kind of like, I think just your instincts take over. Like, I'm so...
Well, get your instincts to do something else.
You know,
the glass is... How's that salmon look? Can I get that well-done piece?
It's like the glass is transparent. You can, it's like,
thank you.
Yeah. It's not obstructing you.
And you can smell everything in there, so it's not that either. So, I don't know. Those people go to jail for an hour.
Yeah, I'd say half the time. How about you?
I've been getting closer. I'm like at 75% now.
Okay.
If I'm BB bopping or Chipotle-ing, I'm.
What is that, an extra buck and a half?
Something, yeah.
175?
I'd be like, what difference does it make at this
point? Treat yourself. It's for you.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
He sucks. Do you read books?
Magazines mostly now. Still.
Mags?
No, I mean, what
if
I mean.
Is there ever a time period in history to be reading magazines?
I still get subscriptions to magazines. They still come to the place. See, here's the thing. I read a lot of
Canton Monthly.
Like sports articles. Are you counting?
NFL Insider.
You counting that?
The NFL Digest.
I don't read enough books.
I said
I don't.
Books.
Yeah, I got to read more books.
I have a lot of books. Need to read them.
They make great decorations.
Yes, me too. There's Tell the Truth for today. You miss anything from our show, don't worry. You can always catch up wherever you get your podcast. Just type in Rothman and Ice. Everything we do from noon to 3 will be waiting there for you. Subscribe to the podcast as well. Common Man and Timmy coming up next. They are going to rank their top 3 peanut butter flavored candies for you at some point in time. So don't move.
You'll see I get it for the articles. Doing. That didn't land. I was. That was a Purdue AD joke that didn't land. Okay.
You got it, though.
Buy it for the articles. I got it, though. Maybe somebody out there did.
Somebody got it.
Talk to you tomorrow at high noon, Roth.